from everyone at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Congratulations to Liz Brunn on an outstanding job.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the express written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Put your seatbelts on this morning, folks. We have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. A whole lot of folks are coming to join us, walking through the wake-up call, coming on down, having a conversation or two. We have some amazing guests this morning. I hope you had an opportunity to hear Nikki Giovanni yesterday. She was wonderful. She was wonderful talking about her new book, Rosa. Well, let me talk about what's going on today. We have the candidate who has announced he is running against Hillary Clinton, the Democrat. Hillary Clinton's going to actually have a primary. Thought she was going to be uncontested. Thought that people were going to just let her get a free, have a free pass. The hawk that she is, the death penalty pro-war hawk that she is. She going to get her, what's the technical legal term? What's the technical legal term? Comeuppance. She wants to be the president, so she says, kill until you get tired. That's what she said. Kill until you get tired is what she said. You know, and I don't understand. I never have. Being a woman myself, being a woman with a, what is it? I enjoy being a girl. You know, I love the things that biologically I am predisposed towards. I love the nurturing thing, the thing that I have in me, this nurturing piece. I love that. I love the fact that my body is capable of producing life. I love that. And I feel that as a woman, given the fact that I am biologically wired to do things that men are not, I am biologically wired to do things that men are not. We are biologically wired. And it seems inconsistent. It seems like a slap in the face of God. Given the fact that I am wired to give birth, that I could advocate enthusiastically and wrap my mind around. I am wired to create life. How could I advocate enthusiastically as a rule of law the taking of life? How could I do that? I ain't wired. My body is wired to make life. How could I advocate to take it as a rule of law? Now, I'm not talking about being so mad at somebody that you want somebody hurt. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about advocating in my sane and clear-headed mind a rule of law that says we should take life. It don't feel right. My body does not vibe on that. It's not right. But there goes Hillary. There she goes again. Let's kill him. And let's stay in this war so that more will die. Because I'm a coward. And I think that it's that same, I just got to say this. It's that same, on a local level, Jim Slay, Licky. Cindy, my mama told me, don't ever be licky. Be licking up behind somebody. It's Bill and Hillary Clinton have this whole licky, licky, licky. Tendency, licking up after them Republicans, licking up after those who hate you. Same with Jim Slay, licking up after Francis Slay. Oh, I think they'll like me if I help get rid of all the black people. You like me. You really, really like me. Licky. Is what that is. Licky, licky, licky. Hillary got it. Bill Clinton had it. Thought Bill Clinton thought that once he became president, that all those white boys that have I'm not talking about the average folks. I'm talking about the George Bushes and this Protestant, mostly Protestant, all white male club, that moneyed club. Bill Clinton thought that he would be welcome in there. After all, he went to Oxford, graduated from an Ivy League school, went to law school, was the governor, and now as the president. Understand, Bill Clinton, you will always be a backwater, barefoot boy to those boys. No matter how much licking you do, you're going to be a backwater, barefoot boy, and so's your wife, because she married you. And yet, Hillary is licking away. We're going to have Jonathan Tassani on, and he's going to challenge Hillary Clinton on her, what's the technical term, her licky ways, her licky, licky, licky ways. We're also going to have somebody we are going to have a guest on, Rand Beers. He's the man who quit his job as counterterrorism advisor to George Bush and signed up with John Kerry's presidential campaign. He's going to be talking about, and you know what? I apologize in advance. He's going to be talking about all of the things that were wrong in George W. Bush's speech when he discussed the war on terror and rebuilding Iraq, and his speech on the other speech earlier. I apologize in advance. You know, if he's going to talk about everything that was wrong, we know now we don't have enough time to finish this conversation. So you need to put your seatbelts on. And we're also going to have someone to run in on the show and talk a little bit about. We're going to have William Young, the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers. He's going to be calling in at 8:45 this morning to talk about pending legislation in Congress that will have a major impact on the post office and Kit Bond's nowhere to be found on this issue. So we're going to be talking to the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers. He's going to be calling in on the wake-up call this morning. And then we're going to be talking to the folks. We're going to go technology on you. We're going to be talking about the Sony BMG litigation from the folks at the Electric Frontier Foundation. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this, folks. So much stuff. And we're bringing it to you. Fasten your seatbelts. I believe we're the first people. I know we are. To have a conversation with Jonathan Tassani, you don't want to miss that. Hillary, we got something for you. We got a little something for you. It's not going to be a happy holiday. Oops, I mean a Merry Christmas for Karl Rove. It's not going to be a merry holiday for Karl Rove. Fitzgerald presents new information to the grand jury. Yesterday was his first appearance since the first time that Fitzgerald has gone back to the grand jury since October 28th, and he got an indictment against, who was that, Scooter? It's hard to keep track of all of these Republicans that are just going down. We have another former National Republican Party official who played a key role in Election Day 2002. He's on trial right now. And what he did, the accusations from the prosecutor. Did you hear me, prosecutor? Is that he jammed the phone lines against New Hampshire Democrats. James Tobin, Bush's one-time New England campaign chairman, is being tried on a federal count of conspiracy against voters' rights and several counts involving telephone harassment. He could face up to 10 years if he's convicted. These people, it's unbelievable. He's 45 years old. He resigned as New England's chairman of Bush's 2004 campaign. He resigned in October 2004 when the phone jamming accusations became public. He has also been the political director of the Republican National Committee. We're not talking about a lower level flunky here. We're talking about the big dog. Is it, you know what, we're just going to have to set up a separate show for all of the indictments that are coming down against Republicans this year. You know, what is it? Every 3 minutes somewhere in America, a Republican is indicted? Is that where we are right now? Now, Tobin was the political director of the Republican National Committee. Another Republican, a person by the name of McGee, Chuck McGee, that's the GOP's former executive director, said, already confessed in court that he hatched the plot and he committed a 7-month sentence for conspiracy. Another conspirator, Alan Raymond, who pleaded guilty for organizing the jamming. But he wants a 5-month sentence in exchange for cooperating with the prosecutors. Prosecutors claim that McGee paid Raymond, former president of the Alexandria, Virginia-based GOP marketplace, $15,000. What we need is a scorecard. It's like you wake up in the morning, I wonder what Republican's been indicted today. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, we're streamed at WGNU.net, LizBrown.com. You are also iPodded at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Also. Every day, the show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. I need Joe Garcia today because I need some wines. I need some wines like he did on that one ad about the Republicans need somebody to whine. He did a good job on that promo. Because I'm looking at a looking at this story. Bill O'Reilly, George Clooney ain't no joke. He's smart. He's clever, and he is politically active, and he's politically clear. And he said, you know, you talk smack about me all the time, O'Reilly. I'll come on and debate you on your show, and he's never been on his show. Here's where the baby whines come in right now. Bill O'Reilly said, Rupert Murdoch won't let me debate George Clooney. Oh, yo mama. Yo mama. You big old baby. Rupert Murdoch won't let me. Here's the transcripts from the show. George Clooney was on the show with Abram. What's with you and Bill O'Reilly? Seems like Bill O'Reilly gets under your skin. I see interviews with you, Clooney, inaudible. A third of them, Bill Riley's name is brought up. But I don't start by bringing up his name, you know, usually. It's just, I just did a film about broadcast journalism, so everybody brought it up. But don't you sort of take him on, and haven't you in the past made him more famous? George Clooney. I never once have gone after him when he said things about me. That wasn't the issue. I've gone at him when the people I've asked to stick their neck out, you know, that work on a telethon, for instance, or did everything right, are suddenly being vilified by something that isn't true. They're made-up facts. That's when it's my job to defend them, since I was the one that brought them in. Isn't that the bait? I mean, isn't the bait to get George Clooney? Yes, but I don't go on his show. He kept saying, come on my show and debate, which, of course, he made up. He made up out of whole cloth. He still, to this day, says that, you know, we got it right and the Red Cards changed their ways. We weren't the Red Cross, we're the United Way. I mean, literally, he gets the facts wrong. Well, he drives you nuts, doesn't he? Well, he drives me nuts because it's irresponsible. That's irresponsible, and it hurts people because people cancel their checks during the telethon. It makes a difference, and it hurt us, and it hurt the credibility of the United Way, and it hurt who I am on the board of. Yes, those things get under my skin. Well, I know that he's invited. We've had that conversation, and Clooney said, I'll debate you on Charlie Rose, and then we had a conversation with Charlie Rose, and Riley said, Rupert Murdoch won't let me. Whew, see, and here's the thing. He won't go on a show where there's neutral, where there's a neutral setting. Somebody else moderating. Bill O'Reilly has been on everybody else's show, now won't go on Charlie Rose's show to debate George Clooney because Rupert Murdoch won't let him. You big old baby. Car phone. Good morning, car phone. Car phone, Kevin. We're going to take a break, folks. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Stay with me.
Little girl, little boys, dream of worlds, lots of toys, this time of the year, when Christmas is near, evergreens are snowy white, sleigh bells ring through the night, this time of the year, when Christmas is near.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by AutoZone. Southbound 270 between 370 and St. Charles Rock Road, there's an injury accident. Two left lanes are blocked and traffic backs up approaching McDonald Boulevard. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Weber Road, no problems there. Eastbound 44 between Lewis and Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 to McKnight, no problems. Everything's flowing freely. Eastbound 70 from Zumbello to 270, everything is on move. Northbound 270 from Marshall 44 and Marshall Road, you can expect traffic to be building in that area. Westbound 270 at Lilac and New Florissant, everything's on the move. Eastbound 70 at 79, slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the Poplar Street, or to Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 from 5570 split, nothing there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3, that ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, expect normal traffic there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AutoZone. Is your car's check engine light on? With AutoZone's free Loan-A-Tool service, you can find the source of the problem with their engine code scanning tool. Find out more at AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Snow advisory is in effect till 6 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, occasional snow. Snow accumulations are expected to be between 2 and 4 inches. The high should be around the mid-20s today. For this evening, mostly cloudy until early evening, then becoming partly cloudy with a low around 10. For Friday, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 30s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 19. Then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies, a high should be in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 20 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 20, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 10. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Thursday morning at 7, Jonathan Tessini joins us on the wake-up call. Who's he, you ask? Well, he's just filed to run against Hillary Clinton for the New York Senate seat. He's attacked her for supporting the war in Iraq and wants the troops brought home now. He also wants to offer a Medicare-like program to all citizens to provide affordable health care. And he's got a simple, unique idea for retirement security. Candidate Jonathan Tessini, Thursday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Are you aware that within the next 24 hours, about 2,000 Americans will be dropping dead from heart attacks and strokes caused by cholesterol? About half of all adult Americans have elevated cholesterol levels, and nearly half of that half have critically high levels. Do you know what your cholesterol number should be? Friday morning at 8, it's Dr. Renee Reed with a discussion on this silent killer. Find out what you can do and need to do to keep yourself healthy, right here on The Wake Up Call.
Congratulations to Joe Garcia, producer of the Global News Update, a feature of the Morning Wake Up Call. Joe, along with Liz Brown, are the 2005 winners of the Best Spot News Award from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. We always knew Joe was a winner, and now you know too. Again, congratulations to Joe Garcia. Another reason to listen to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
It's Christmas time. This Christmas time, and you so far from me. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time with mouth between us. I will not see bells that chime all night at Christmas time for the merry.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400, phone number 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me, revolution@lizbrown.com. We have some amazing things to talk about this morning. Amazing things. In the next hour, we're going to have Jonathan Tessini. He is the, he's filed in the Democratic primary to run against Hillary Clinton. And he's taken on the issue of the war head on, head on. Hillary Clinton is a war hawk. And we're going to be talking to him about why he's running. what's wrong with Hillary? Well, how he would be different as a United States Senator or so. You don't want to miss that interview at 7 o'clock. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. A passenger who claimed to have had a bomb in a carry-on bag was shot and killed by an air marshal on a jetway to an American Airlines plane that arrived from Colombia. The dead passenger, a 44-year-old U.S. citizen. The passenger, who said there was a bomb in his bag, was confronted by air marshals but ran off the aircraft. The marshals pursued, ordered the passenger to get on the ground. The man did not comply and was shot when he reached into his bag. No bomb was found. Passenger said the man ran down the aisle from the rear of the plane. He was frantic, waving, flailing his arms in the air. She said a woman followed, shouting, "My husband, my husband." She heard the woman say that her husband was bipolar and he hadn't had his medicine. The plane, flight 924, had arrived from Medellin, Colombia, and was scheduled to depart 2 hours later for Orlando. An unarmed man shot and killed by air marshals. And his wife is running behind him saying, "My husband is on medication. He's bipolar." Can you imagine watching your mate get gunned down in front of you? And I wonder, when judgments are left to human beings in these types of situations, and an option, should an option of shoot to kill, should there be an option of shoot to kill? Did I tell you that he was Hispanic? Did I tell you that? I'm a woman of African descent. I am a woman of African descent. My people are gunned down all the time in this country because of the hundreds of years of racism that's preceded them. And many parts of the society shrugs their shoulder collectively and says, "Well, better safe than sorry." And now what you're seeing is the continuation of this whipping people up into an expectation of crime. This man is dead. And there's a dead brown-skinned man in London. They lie. They said that he reached into his backpack. They said he had a bulky coat on. They said he ran away inexplicably. And they gunned him down. They put 5 bullet shots in his head. They didn't ask him a dang thing. Turns out he didn't have a bulky coat. Turns out he didn't run away from them. Turns out that they just killed him because better safe than sorry. And I understand the choice of better safe than sorry if you want to put 15 smoke detectors in one room. Okay? That doesn't hurt anybody. It just makes your room look jacked up. That's a better safe than sorry philosophy as it applies to things. How do we defend our humanity? Maintain our humanity and have a philosophy about killing humans with a shrug of the shoulders and a grunt. Better safe than sorry. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen of the wake-up call jury, that we are all sorry every time that we engage in that twisted, inhumane act. Because when we engage in a better safe than sorry practice, we're rarely safe. Mostly sorry. 44-year-old dead man. For no reason. Are we safe yet? We safe yet? Whew, I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. Oh, Michael. Love me some Michael Jackson.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline London. Two British citizens who work for British Petroleum have been arrested in Azerbaijan and charged with attempting to inflict biological terrorism. The men were captured by Azerbaijani secret service officers near a water treatment plant in the capital city of Baku. Guards say they were taken into custody as they were scattering a white powder into water reservoirs at the plant. A map of the downtown business district of Baku was also in their possession. And Dateline Washington, the CIA operative whose name was leaked by the Bush administration, has decided to retire from the agency. Valerie Plame, the wife of former Ambassador Joseph Wilson, will be leaving the CIA tomorrow. She was a specialist in weapons counterproliferation in the agency's National Clandestine Service. Her name was given out in July of 2003 in a column by Robert Novak. That began a chain of events that led to an investigation resulting in the resignation and indictment of Vice President Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby. Wilson says his wife's cover was blown after he wrote an op-ed piece critical of President Bush's twisting of intelligence to make his case for going to war. The CIA is not commenting on her retirement. This is your wake-up call global news update. Are you aware that within the next 24 hours, about 2,000 Americans will be dropping dead from heart attacks and strokes caused by cholesterol? About half of all adult Americans have elevated cholesterol levels, and nearly half of that half have critically high levels. Do you know what your cholesterol number should be? Friday morning at 8, it's Dr. Renee Reed with a discussion on this silent killer. Find out what you can do and need to do to keep yourself healthy, right here on the Wake Up Call.
When you discover something of true value, that pearl of great price, you take special care of it. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party celebrates its pearl anniversary this year by honoring those who help others throughout Metro St. Louis. This year's party is from 3 to 7 p.m. Sunday, December 18th at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road. The parking is free. The ticket price of $10 per person includes a family-style buffet, a DJ from Complete Music Company, the Jerry Stretz Professional Dancers, and the Sweet and Sassy Dancers continue the tradition of great entertainment. There are also drawings for door prizes, including, what else, a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are also available at $5 each. Seating is limited to 500 persons, so get your tickets now and don't be disappointed. They're available from B Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Caffey at Contemporary Living Options, or from Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th, 3 to 7 p.m. at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Hurricane Katrina was one of the worst natural disasters ever to hit the United States. There are literally tens of thousands of people who have lost their homes. It's going to take months, possibly years, for them to recover. And not only tens of thousands of homes, but an entire city of New Orleans flooded and have to be evacuated. Many of those homes will have to be bulldozed, but Samaritan's Purse is here. We need people's help. We need supplies. We need donations. We need your prayers. And if you would like to help, you can donate by going online to www.samaritanspurse.org or give by phone, and that is 1-800-567-8183. That's 1-800-567-8183. God bless you. And please remember to give and to pray for the folks here in Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana.
Thursday morning at 7, Jonathan Tessini joins us on the wake-up call. Who's he, you ask? Well, he's just filed to run against Hillary Clinton for the New York Senate seat. He's attacked her for supporting the war in Iraq and wants the troops brought home now. He also wants to offer a Medicare-like program to all citizens to provide affordable health care. And he's got a simple, unique idea for retirement security. Candidate Jonathan Tessini, Thursday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning, Josephine.
This is Josephine. Thank you. I hope you have a safe trip home. I'll really pray for you.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy to hear you're there. Now, I have a question to ask. I'm not disputing your word.
Yes, ma'am.
On that man on that airplane that hollered he had a bomb. If we were in the crowd and the man said he had a bomb and somebody was hollering he was bipolar, how would we know that somebody hadn't given him a bomb in the meantime and all these people had been blown up?
And here's the thing, Josephine. My point is that you have to take everything into consideration. You just don't have to kill him. There are ways to shoot people. There are ways to stun people. There are ways to take people out that do not involve killing them. And in a place in a place of close confinement like that, you really have far more options of stunning people than you do in places where they have a whole lot of room to run around. I'm not talking about him being apprehended. I'm not talking about him being put on the ground. I'm not talking about him being taken into custody. I'm talking about them killing him. And there are other options besides killing people.
But in the meantime, if he was reaching for his bag, if he had touched that bomb, it would have went off.
But shooting
him
with...
And everybody would have been killed.
But shooting him with the stun gun would have been the same thing, right?
But if his hand was in the bag...
But shooting him with the bullet's not going to stop that either. Either way, a stun gun's going to take him.
I see what you mean.
You know, so,
okay.
So
well,
either
thank
way.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
Take care, Joseph. Be very careful
going home.
All right, and
God bless you.
Okay, and stay warm, Josephine.
Yes,
okay?
Ma'am. I'm staying indoors.
Are you still keeping your house warm by turning it up?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now. Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
You do the same.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. T. Hello? T? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I don't know, y'all. I'm going to get back to the calls in just a second. I just have to share this with you before we take a break. Is this crazy to you or is it just me? Michael Reagan, the son of Ronald Reagan, says that Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean, who said America won't be able to win the war in Iraq, Michael Reagan says that he should be hung for treason. And so what should happen to Scooter Libby? If Howard Dean should be hung for saying something against our national interests, what should be done to Scooter Libby? Hung. These are the same people that have made happy holidays into fighting words. They want to be able to say Merry Christmas. Y'all need to all wash your mouth out with soap. That's what you need to do. Hung. T?
Hey, I'm sorry, Ms. Brown. I learned to dismiss things that certain people say, you know, Reagan and all these other talking heads. What's the other guy you were talking about earlier today that don't want to debate anyone in a forum like that? But that was sad of the murder yesterday on that airplane. You would think that we have better ways of taking individuals down in confined spaces. And didn't we hear him running up and down the aisle in the first place?
And his wife running after him saying, my husband, he's bipolar, he hasn't taken his medication. So we had a number of different things and remember, these are air marshals, and we have no idea what their training is like. And it's this whole attitude of, better safe than sorry, let's just kill him.
And plus, I'm not too keen on trusting anything that individuals like that tell me anyway, especially through this made-up media we supposedly have. But it's just kind of surprising. What was the air marshal up front when this guy started screaming from the back of the plane? They couldn't confine him. And what's the technology to prevent a bomb from getting on aircraft anyway?
There you go.
You know?
He went.
So, I mean, it all can be questioned.
Thanks for your call, T.
You're right.
Joyce.
Liz,
yes.
I was just wondering they check your bags, right?
That is correct.
So,
let me just say, he just came from Colombia. How hard do you think they checked his bags?
Right.
Okay,
so
they probably made him get naked.
He wouldn't even got on the plane.
Mm.
So I don't understand how.
He's dead. He's dead. 44 years old, American citizen, dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Okay, Liz.
All right, Joyce.
Yeah.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fast car phone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Ms. Brown, what a shopping year is going to be, huh? Ms. Brown, now Thanksgiving, gas is $1.80.
That's correct.
Now we're looking at $2.01, $2.09.
What'd I say? What did I say?
Ms. Brown.
Didn't I tell you that there were gas prices were going to go down for the biggest shopping day of the year?
Yes,
didn't I?
Yes, you did, and it's rising now.
That's right, 10 cents overnight.
It's rising.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Brown, I told my kids, I say, I'm Santa Claus, and we're going to wait till after Christmas.
All right now.
Thank you.
All right. My name is Liz Brown. We will be having a conversation with Jonathan Tassani, the man who is running against Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is finally getting some competition. War hawk that she is. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us.
A 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Vallotta. Passengers are recounting the frightening moments before federal air marshals shot and killed 44-year-old Rigoberto Alpizar, who said he had a bomb. Mary Gardner was on the flight.
Oh, my gosh, it was so scary. Yeah, first there was the airline police, and the tourist police is what I believe they're called. And there were probably about six of them that came through. They all had their guns, you know, and they were looking for stuff. They went and got his bag, and they brought the bag up, and he yelled, "I've got his bag, I've got his bag." So nobody really knew what was going on.
Alpizar's wife reportedly told the air marshals her husband was bipolar and hadn't taken his medication. 25 years ago today, John Lennon was murdered. You may recall Howard Cosell breaking the news to fans during Monday Night Football.
ABC News has confirmed that John Lennon, a member of the famed Beatles, may be the best-known member, was shot twice in the back outside of his apartment building in the west side of New York tonight, rushed to the Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. An unspeakable tragedy.
A suicide bomber blows up a packed bus in Baghdad today. As many as 30 people were killed. A U.S. soldier is also dead after his convoy was struck by a roadside bomb. Some hope for the families of four peace activists being held hostage in Iraq. The kidnappers are giving the U.S. and Britain a little more time to meet their demands.
The apparent deadline for action by the U.S. or the British has been extended by 2 days. The group, the Swords of Truth or Swords of Righteousness, whichever translation you go with, seems to have extended its deadline. And it also seems to be treating the American and British hostage differently from the Canadian hostages.
ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad. Gwen Stefani is among the artists expected to get multiple Grammy nominations when they're announced this morning in New York City. This is ABC News.
Honey, why are you cutting branches off the Christmas tree?
So all the big gifts fit under it.
You've cut them 5 feet from the bottom.
But not enough?
Oh, honey.
This Saturday, it's the big Saturday sale at Sears.
Yeah.
So from 7 to 10 a.m., we get the discount Sears employees get. That's saving 10 to 20% on the biggest gifts of the season.
This Saturday at Sears.
Yeah. Come on, I'll show you my plans to widen the chimney.
Come in early. It's going to be a big Saturday sale. Wish big. Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/10/05.
Walmart and Sam's Club have teamed up with Humana to provide you with all the information you need about the new Medicare prescription drug benefit. Enroll today. Enrollment is available now through May 15, 2006. Log on to walmart.com/Medicare or talk with your Walmart pharmacist or Humana sales representative. Medicare-approved HMO, PPO, and PFFS plans available to anyone enrolled in Part B and entitled to Part A of Medicare through age or disability. Copayment, service area, and benefit limitations may apply.
First GM, now Ford, is taking aggressive steps to survive. ABC's Jim Hickey reports the auto industry is not only in trouble, it's in big trouble.
They were once the big three, GM, Ford, and Chrysler, the giants of the worldwide auto industry. But now, as they struggle to stay solvent, the U.S. automakers continue to lose ground to foreign competitors, which soon may include China. The Detroit Free Press reports that experts predict in less than 5 years, only about half of all cars and trucks sold in the U.S. will be made in the U.S. In those same 5 years, Ford alone may be forced to cut 30,000 jobs. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Ford's restructuring plan is expected to be made public soon. A small earthquake rattles Northern California residents in the middle of the night. The magnitude 3.8 quake struck just before 2 a.m. Pacific time. So far, there are no reports of any injuries or damage. I'm Daniela Bellata, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, DePere police say they have caught a suspect who escaped from an officer's custody yesterday while being transported by DePere police to St. Louis City Jail yesterday after being arrested on a probation violation. The man escaped by claiming to be ill. St. Louis Police Chief Joe Mokwa says the DePere officer may have been overly empathetic to the suspect. The man fled when the officer pulled over on I-44 near Jefferson and opened the rear door. He was taken back into custody later yesterday. The Humane Society of Missouri is helping to care for five exotic reptiles rescued from a Sykeston home. A resident voluntarily surrendered two Burmese pythons, a boa constrictor, and two baby alligators to Humane Society workers yesterday. The animals stayed overnight at the Humane Society of Missouri's Macquarie Avenue headquarters and will be released to the St. Louis Herpetological Society today. Finally this hour, Reverend Larry Rice of the New Life Evangelistic Center is pleading with the public for help this holiday season. The center in downtown St. Louis has opened its Christmas free store where the needy can shop for Christmas gifts for their families and for other items they need. Rice says the situation is more critical this year than he's ever seen.
I've been at this work for over 33 years, and I've never seen a time when the need has been so great and donations have been so far down. We're trying to do everything we can to continue to keep the place open. We have record numbers of homeless men, women, children, people whose utilities are off. It's a real crisis situation this year.
Rice is asking the public to donate heaters, blankets, jackets, and other things to the New Life Evangelistic Center at 1411 Locust. The Christmas free store will be open from 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday, from now until Christmas. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Relive all the great Busch Stadium moments in one DVD. The official Busch Stadium Tribute DVD, produced by the Cardinals, on sale for a limited time only at Redbox locations in McDonald's. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the NFL. Southbound 270 on Dorset, there's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic is thinning out. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Holly Hills, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270 is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Lindbergh, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 44, traffic's lighter than normal so far. Westbound 270 at 367 in New Florissant, look for no problems reported. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at Mason, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 55-70 split from 64 onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, it is slow there as well. Westbound Kingbridge, traffic from the Illinois Bank to Cleats Landing, look for sluggish traffic there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect slow traffic. And North Newstead at Labadie, look for ice buildup from an overnight fire, so you may want to use caution as you roll up to those areas. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the NFL. Sprint presents 2006 Pro Bowl balloting. Log on to NFL.com and vote for your favorite players. You pick the X's and the O's. Sprint, the official wireless telecommunications service sponsor of the NFL. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Snow advisory is in effect until 6 p.m. Otherwise, occasional snow accumulations of 2 to 4 inches are expected today with a high in the mid-20s. This evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 10. Friday, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 30s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 19. And Saturday, partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 20 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 20 degrees as well, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 10. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. Her special guest for the 7 o'clock hour, Jonathan Tessini. She'll tell you more coming up right here on the Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU, long distance. We are streamed at WGNU.net, LizBrown.com. Also, this show is archived every single day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Also, you can iPod me there as well. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. And I don't know, and I apologize for this because I've never started an interview like this. I just have to, those of you that know me and know my show know that I say this on occasion, so I'm going to say it now. I got to be careful not to cuss. I just picked up an article, and I got to be careful not to cuss. Because this is just, this is whack. This is crazy. This is insane. There's an article coming out of the Washington Post yesterday that the Democrats are concerned. Let me back up. Howard Dean made a comment in a San Antonio radio station, and the quote is, "The idea that we're going to win the war in Iraq is an idea which is just plain wrong." You think? what does winning look like? And to this, and mind you, next to Howard Dean is the hawk, Congressman Murtha, saying, get the heck out of Iraq. So, and we have to look at all of the polls. The polls are saying that most Americans say, get out. We want a timetable. We shouldn't have gone in there. You lied to us. All of those things. And we can't pay our heating bills. We can't pay up to put gas in our cars. We don't have jobs. We're struggling. We're hurting out here. It's billions and billions of dollars every month. Get out. Get out. Get out. Come home. And what is the Democratic response to that? The leaders that the Democrats, that Dean's rhetorical blast could harm the efforts to win control of the Congress next year. You know what? Oh, you know what? Oh! Oh! It could hurt the Democrats' chances of winning next year by Dean saying something soft. Like, the idea we're going to win the war in Iraq is an idea that is just plain wrong. And the Democrats are running from that statement. Good God, you want to know why your gas prices are so high? You want to know? Because of the weak leadership that we have out there. I don't even want to tell you about how Hillary Clinton can be a woman and embrace the death penalty so enthusiastically. How Hillary Clinton, as a woman, can be hawkier than the hawkiest hawk out there. Stuff's got to change. And maybe this is the year that we throw everybody out. You know, just throw them all out. With the exception of some people in the Black Caucus, I'm mad at some of them, too. I haven't forgotten the bankruptcy bit. I haven't forgotten what they've done with that. I haven't forgotten having the chairman of the Black Caucus on here saying, you can't judge us on our vote on that. I haven't forgotten that. Let's pick 10 of them and leave them and throw the rest of them out. We're gonna talk about one in particular this morning. Hillary Clinton has some competition. Jonathan Tasani announced a couple days ago that he will be running in the Democratic primary against Hillary Clinton in her effort to be reelected as a United States Senator from New York. And he's going to talk to us about why that shouldn't happen. Joining us from New York, I have Jonathan Tasani. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning to you, Liz.
How are you?
I'm great. You know, I need you as my campaign manager. You are talking my language here.
I just don't want to cuss. I just don't want to cuss. This stuff is crazy.
It's hard not to cuss. You know, I almost did that yesterday, the other day, when I saw that, you know, as you pointed out, we're at war. Our men and women are being killed. Gas prices are going up. 45 million Americans don't have health insurance. What is Hillary Clinton concerned about? Flag burning. And she's just now co-sponsored a piece of legislation with one of the most right-wing members of the Senate, Pat Roberts from Kansas, that would criminalize burning flags. Now, I don't know about you, but I have not seen a whole lot of flags burning around here. I have seen a lot of men and women dying in Iraq. I have seen a lot of people without health insurance. I have seen a lot of people not being able to pay their bills, and she is bothered by flag burning.
And
so that's what I'm...
And even if they were burning flags up and down Madison Avenue, what does that have to do with me heating my house? What does
it has nothing to do. And you know what? It's one of those beautiful things called the First Amendment.
There you go.
You know?
There you go. It feels, I've been using this word a lot, Jonathan, because it feels this way. It feels surreal that we have this woman who is a Democrat out here doing exactly the same thing as Republicans are. And my understanding of it is that people want real Republicans. They don't want Republican lights.
Absolutely, and that's almost one of the lines I really use a lot, is that given the choice, people always vote for the real thing.
There you go.
And, you know, they don't want the Republican. I think that's why the Democrats have been in the minority all the time. You were talking about them being afraid, that Howard Dean's position, his correct position, is going to make it potentially threaten the ability of Democrats to retake the Congress. Well, frankly, if they don't get out there, they deserve to be the minority party.
But we suffer as a result of it.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. Well, that's one of the reasons I'm out there trying to run, I encourage other people to take on these pro-war Democrats and these Republican-like Democrats.
Well, so let's talk about this, Jonathan. At what point did you decide that you were going to get into the race against Hillary?
I started thinking about it about 11 months ago. I was approached by a few people who were just furious about the war. And I waited very carefully. One of the things that I do, I was president of the National Writers Union for 13 years. That's my base. That's where I come out of the labor movement. And been involved in a lot of organizing campaigns, working in some national campaigns to organize hotel workers, and very excited about that. So the real issue for me was putting that aside to take on this race. I had no doubt that this race was important to do. I had no doubt that she could be taken on. And frankly, I think there's a way that we could beat her, given where New Yorkers are. But I really had to make my own personal decision to put aside some other things that were important to me. And I did that in August. I made a final decision, particularly because she had made no change in her position on the war, and in fact has gotten worse, in my opinion. So I decided to do it.
And I was looking at who Hillary Clinton was running, who the Republicans put up. She would have had a very quiet, uneventful election or race, wouldn't she? Because the Republican person is just, she's clueless.
That would be a good definition of her. Her name is Jean Pirro, the district attorney in Westchester County here. And one of the things that she did, among other things, during her campaign announcement, she lost pages of her speech, which is, you know, not a great thing to do in front of the press when you're launching candidacy to be taken seriously.
I saw that on Comedy Central on the Daily Show. That was hysterical.
Did they do that?
On the Daily Show, it was hysterical.
That's what I would do. And you know, as I say, truth is sometimes funnier than fiction. And it looks like, actually, you know, in New York, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt and discussion the last two or three days that she may pull out and run instead for attorney general. So whoever wins the Democratic primary, whether it be me or Senator Clinton, we're going to have a pretty easy ride in the general election. I think this is, after all, a fairly Democratic state in many respects, although we have had a Republican governor for the last 12 years. But I think things have changed, given people's anger about the war and about the Bush administration in general. I think this state is a pretty safe Democratic seat.
But Hillary Clinton and Schumer, the other Democratic senator from New York, they both are pro-war. They both defend the war. How does that? Are they reflecting what New Yorkers want out there?
No, you know, and I, it's hard to even speak about this because it is so appalling that we have those two senators who both support the war. You know, I think it's two things. One is, you know, politicians, as you know, they stick around and they look at polls. And when people were scared, you know, out of their wits right after 9/11, a year later, they were intimidated. They had no moral courage. And they basically said, my God, everybody wants to go to war. I can't stick up for the peace movement. And at the very least, they were craven politicians. It would be worse if they actually believed it. But if you want to take the most optimistic view, it's because they're craven politicians, which is not a great thing.
No, it's not.
And what I said in my, you know, one of the things that we lack in this country, leadership, and I said this in my opening speech to the press a couple of days ago, and I'll post that, the whole speech soon. I said, you know, can you imagine if Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi or Nelson Mandela, when they were confronted with the great moral issues of their time, said, wait a minute, I have to take a poll to figure out which way to go. You know, the great leaders and the people who really created the inspiration and think people we look up to that changed the course of American history and world history, they didn't need polls. And sometimes they went up against the majority opinion because they had a core moral belief that said, hey, this is where we have to go, and this is what I believe, and I've got to take the people there.
Here's the rub, Jonathan. No, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, they would not have looked at a poll, but these guys are craven politicians, and the polls are saying people don't support the war, and they're still not going in that direction.
And initially, that's true now, but initially, unfortunately, this is why polling is so terrible, why it's taken a hold on our political world. It is true that in the beginning, partly because people were thought that Saddam Hussein, who was a despicable tyrant, let's face it, he was somehow responsible for 9/11 and he was a threat to the United States and so on. Now, it's one thing for the people to think that, but there was plenty of information to show that this was all nonsense. It wasn't about the intelligence and all that. Everybody knew that Saddam Hussein was experts knew that he was not a threat to the United States. And yet, because of the fear that people had in America, rather than trying to work and explain to people that they should not be sort of sucked in by their fear, politicians like Hillary Clinton basically said, this is my future for my political career. I have to vote to go to war. And as a result, we have more than 2,100 Americans dead, thousands wounded, not to mention thousands of Iraqi men, women, and children who are innocent.
Mm-hmm. And the other piece of this, too, speaking to the cravenness of the Democrats' actions, it's almost like some of the Democrats staked out, and particularly in the United States Senate, staked out a position that, okay, we're not the party in power, so they really can't blame us for anything that happens. But I don't want to go, I'm too scared to go out there by myself and say that I'm in opposition to this war. I can go along with them and not really be held accountable for them. And then come election time, I'll beat up on them and scare the Democratic voters into voting for me again because we can't let them back in. So it's like something that they've carved out to create their safe seat and not have to do anything.
Right. That's right. And it is, as even you know, it shows where people think about my opponent, that Charlie Rangel said recently, and I do want to step back for people who don't know, Charlie Rangel, who was the guy who basically cleared the field for my opponent to come into a state which he did not live in 2000, to push aside some veteran politicians who had been around for a long time, would have represented the state a lot longer, and they would have represented a lot better.
Mm.
And Charlie Rangel just said a few days ago, in responding to my opponent's new declaration of her new position, that was not a profile in courage. This is Charlie Rangel saying that.
Wow.
So people are starting to realize that they have a person who takes no leadership on anything, basically tries to pander to people in order to get votes, and really does not represent, in my opinion, the views of the majority of New Yorkers. And that's why I say to people, and when people say, well, do you think you can actually win this race? I say, you know, going up against an incumbent is tough. 95% of incumbents win in America. But I will tell you, and this is the slogan we've adopted from the late Paul Wellstone, who was one of my political heroes, if people vote what they truly believe in, isn't that a radical thought?
Mm-hmm.
If people vote what they really believe in, we can win this race, because I'm where the majority of New Yorkers are and she is not.
What are you hearing coming from her camp? Are they have they made any comments? Are they concerned? Are they speaking on this in any way?
On my campaign?
On your campaign.
No, they've basically made no comment. Frankly, if I was in their position, I'd do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to show that there is, I've only been in the race 2 days, mm-hmm. now 3 days, and I have to show that there is a campaign, there is a groundswell, there are people who want to support it. And I'll tell you, from the people that have been flooding to our website, which is, by the way, TassiniForNewYork.org, T-A-S-I-N-I, for NewYork.org, we've gotten people from all across the state saying, how can I help? They're donating small amounts because we're going to run this campaign on people who donate $25 and $30 and $50, not like Mrs. Clinton, who gets money from corporations like Walmart. I'm excited about it. I think there's a lot of sentiment out there for this, but we have to show it. So.
And are you hearing from, I know that Cindy Sheehan is, I know that she said that she can endorse, is that right?
She has. Well, Cindy's supporting this message very strongly. She has this nonprofit that she started, which under the law cannot endorse political candidates. So she has to be very careful. But, you know, I've been talking and working with Cindy for many weeks. So I am pretty confident that she's supporting. But there will be lots of supporters coming behind our campaign.
One of the things that I've noticed, and I'm starting to read a little bit about, are that Hillary Clinton is receiving opposition wherever she goes to speak. People are in the audience standing up and saying that they don't agree with her.
Well, this is a great thing that's happening now. One of the organizations is called Code Pink, And it was formed by women who, if you remember, actually, we haven't heard about one of these in a long time. All those alerts, you know, the colored alerts,
that's
red
right.
and
mm-hmm.
yellow and whatever it was.
Orange.
And orange, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, well, we're going to create our own color called pink just to sort of make fun of this idiotic security thing, which never told anybody anything. And they have now a network all across the country, actually, in the New York contingent. They've now decided that they're everywhere she goes, they're going to go. Every time there's an event that she has, a fundraiser, a speech, they're going to be out there demonstrating, and they're going to try to actually start a regular picket in front of her office.
Mm.
They're thinking about doing it every Friday afternoon,
and
which is a fantastic thing.
We've had the Code Pink ladies on the show before, and I think that it's important for people to know that Code Pink confronted Hillary the day that she made the decision to support the war, and she turned her back on them. She wouldn't talk to these constituents about the war. So she's been consistent, and they've been consistent in what they've done.
She won't talk about the war. There was an interview that was done, a story on National Public Radio, where the reporter went from senator to senator asking them where they stood. This was sometime mm-hmm. after the war, and she was the only one that said, I don't have time to talk about
mm-hmm.
it right now,
mm-hmm.
and walked away. She never had when she voted for the war back in 2002, there was not a statement on her website about her position and why she voted for it, because she knows that she's out of step with New Yorkers and that this is her vulnerability, and I think she's afraid that this will cripple her, both her reelection chances and potentially her run for the presidency.
We have to take a break, but Jonathan, when we come back, I want to talk about some of the issues and how you stand on them, and I also want to take a quick have a quick conversation with you about the article that you wrote, the Walmart 22.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Because I love the way that you challenge the Black Caucus and their vote on that, because it's obscene. It is obscene what they have done. And I will be back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're talking to Jonathan Tassani. He has filed to run against Hillary Clinton for the United States Senate seat in the state of New York. We will be talking to Jonathan about his views, about his positions, about why he's in the race. When we come back, stay with us.
We're happy tonight, walking in a winch wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay. Sings a love song, we go along, walking in a witch wonderland.
Good morning, St. Louis, 7:31 at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Maryville University. Southbound 270 at Dorset, an accident on the right shoulder. There's a brief slowdown. Northbound 65 between Green Park and Gasconade. Everything is on the move. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way to Sappington looks good. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to 270 is flowing freely. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, everything is on the move. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge to West Forest, no problems to report. Eastbound 270 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 at Mason, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 64 to 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way in to Cleve's Landing looks good as well. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the PSB, look for slow traffic there. North Newstead at Labadie, look for ice buildup from an overnight fire. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Maryville University. The weekend and evening college at Maryville University offers flexible schedules and 8 or 16-week sessions at three convenient locations. Call 314-529-9334 for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Snow advisory in effect till 6 p.m., otherwise occasional snow. Accumulations are expected between 2 and 4 inches today. The high should be in the mid-20s. For this evening, mostly cloudy early in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 10. Friday, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 30s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 19. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, Under cloudy conditions, we have 20 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 20 with a wind chill, making it feel like it's 12 outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call as she speaks more with Jonathan Tessini from New York, live right here on the Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you aware that within the next 24 hours, about 2,000 Americans will be dropping dead from heart attacks and strokes caused by cholesterol? About half of all adult Americans have elevated cholesterol levels, and nearly half of that half have critically high levels. Do you know what your cholesterol number should be? Friday morning at 8, it's Dr. Renee Reed with a discussion on this silent killer. Find out what you can do and need to do to keep yourself healthy, right here on The Wake Up Call.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
If you have a travel question, we'll try to find the answer for you.
Tell a friend and tune us in 2 to 4 Saturday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU.
Now that Medicare finally has prescription drug benefits, what does it mean for you? I'm Senator Bob Dole, and on January 1st, 2006, all Medicare beneficiaries, regardless of income, will have drug coverage. Explore your options now so you can take full advantage of this program. Enrollment begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit www.medicare.gov to get all the facts.
This message is endorsed by Easter Seals, providing services for children and adults with disabilities.
Has Steve Franklin been on your mind? Join him online at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Congratulations to Joe Garcia, producer of the Global News Update, a feature of the Morning Wake Up Call. Joe, along with Liz Brown, are the 2005 winners of the Best Spot News Award from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. We always knew Joe was a winner, and now you know too. Again, congratulations to Joe Garcia. Another reason to listen to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Better you freeze out there. Say, let me come.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be time to
think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and died,
you really can't stay.
Get over that old love.
Our body's cold.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and this morning I am talking to Jonathan Tessini from New York. He is the candidate who has filed against Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary for a re-election, or at least Hillary's running for re-election for the Senate seat in New York. Jonathan, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here.
Who are the Walmart 22, and why is that such an important vote that we need to be looking at?
Well, I've done a lot of thinking about Walmart and a lot of campaigning about Walmart. The 22 the Walmart 22, as I call it, are 22 Democrats who this past year voted against an amendment. And I don't want to get into the little nitty-gritty of it because it's kind of boring, but the basic point of the amendment was that it barred spending any government money. It barred the Department of Labor from spending any government money to implement the part of this deal that the Department of Labor had made with Walmart that basically gave Walmart the right to hear in advance that there are going to be inspections to investigate Walmart. I think your listeners probably know Walmart is probably one of the biggest corporate criminals around and violators of the law, particularly labor laws, child labor, all sorts of other regulations. So the Department of Labor cut this deal with Walmart saying that if we decide to investigate you, we're going to let you know before we come. Now, it doesn't strike me as particularly logical that you'd let some lawbreaker know you're on your way, but that's what the Department of Labor did. So there's this amendment that said you can't use money to implement that. It's a way of stopping the Department of Labor from giving Walmart that heads up. And 22 Democrats voted against that amendment, essentially. In other words, 22 Democrats said, we're going to protect Walmart. And we're going to make sure that this amendment doesn't pass. And I was furious about that, so I wrote a column about it, among other things.
And let's go to some of your positions on relevant issues as it pertains to you running for the Senate seat. Let's talk about the war, because that's going to be is that going to be your main issue that you run on? And how is your position on the war? What is it, and how is it different than Hillary Clinton's position?
Well, it's night and day. My position is with immediate withdrawal of the troops. And when I've had that position for many, many months, and I thought, my God, this is a very radical position. But, you know, it's hard to be considered radical when John Murtha, a decorated Marine veteran, who, as you pointed out quite accurately in the earlier part of your show, is a hawk, generally speaking. When he comes out and says the same thing, I feel pretty comfortable being out there in that position. My opponent's position, Senator Clinton's position, is almost like the Bush administration's position. She says she wants, first of all, winning strategy. There is no such thing as a winning strategy in Iraq. You cannot win that war. Impossible. And her other position, she now recently sent out a letter to her constituents who are furious about this. And she does what she often does. She says something which appears to make some headway or appears to change her position, but it's really nothing. She said, at some point in 2006, we should begin withdrawing the troops. That says nothing because no one knows if she's talking about 5,000 troops out of the 150,000 who are there or 10,000. How long the withdrawal is going to take? Are they going to be there a year, 5 years, 10 years? So she essentially tried to say something but didn't say much.
An immediate withdrawal.
Yep, immediate withdrawal. And when I say immediate, look, you cannot take 150,000 troops, pack them up on airplanes, and leave the next day. It's not like you're there for a vacation and it's as if you're a tourist. You've got to take tanks and equipment, troops, everything connected with supplying them. So my position is what the Congress needs to do is immediately make the policy decision that beginning tomorrow, there's no more money appropriated for offensive actions, and they will give as much money as the military needs to withdraw the troops over probably a period of several months. And my view is that once you do that, the troops are in a much safer position because the insurgency there, most of it is about the occupation. And many of the insurgents, if they hear and they understand that the United States is saying, we messed up, we're wrong, we're leaving, that at that point the insurgency will dissipate in great fashion.
Well, they weren't there before we got there.
That's true. They weren't. And not only that, but a lot of people are making a great deal about Zarqawi and some of the more radical Islamist people from the outside, the foreign fighters. They're a very small part of the insurgency. And my belief, after consulting with experts and reading a lot about this, is that once the United States leaves as the occupiers, those people, the foreign fighters, are not going to be welcome in Iraq. Iraq is a very proud and nationalistic people, and they're not interested in having either the United States there as an occupier or these foreign fighters messing up their society.
My enemy's enemy is my friend.
That's a beautiful way of saying it.
So, okay, so pull out of Iraq. Would you have voted for, because there are people that I believe that there were, weren't there a couple of United States senators that voted against the war, but yet and still they continue to vote for the appropriations for the war. One of the reasons that the Vietnam War came to an end was because they choked off the money for it. What would you do with regard to voting for the appropriations for the war?
Well, I would vote against the appropriations to the following extent, which is saying that you can't provide money that – well, let me say this a different way. I think that the first thing you have to do, what I would push for, is cutting off money for the war period. And I think that's the way to do it through, of course, a series of amendments and try to push that position. There is a reality that if you can't win that, you have to make sure – that the troops who are there have money basically to survive there. You have to have allocations for food. There's some basic things. So if you can't stop the war and pull people out, there is some money that you have to make sure the troops do have there while they're there. That's the reality.
So I'm not clear on what you're saying in terms of how you would do that. You would...
Well, I think because it's as it's sort of the cart before the horse question, you have to first try as much as possible as a United States senator to end the war. And the way to do that is, I think, in my opinion, to push for legislation that would cut off all funds to end the war. Once, if you lose those kinds of votes, it's a very hard position to be in, I think, to say then you're not going to support troops who are there from a practical point of view. I mean, money that goes to that purpose is about also... just as I said, giving them food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the soldiers are going to be there, they got to eat, right?
Okay.
There's some very practical things. I mean, housing. How do you medical supplies and facilities? You can't just leave them there with nothing. My position is this: you have to fight as hard as possible to pull it out. But the reality is that our men and women are there because of our government's stupid action and our politicians wanting to either be craven politicians about. Reacting to the polls, but you have to remember that it is a reality that our troops are there, and how do you make sure that they're safe?
Let me take a quick call here. Carfo, you have a question for Jonathan Tassini? Tassini, I'm sorry. Carfo? We lost the car phone. We have to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Jonathan Tassini. He is joining us from New York. He is a candidate for the United States Senate in the state of New York, running against Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary. We will be back. Stay with us.
Your award-winning wake-up call is brought to you this hour by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Abu Dhabi. Widespread rioting is reported in the capital of Bahrain. Thousands of Shiites have been battling with security forces for over a week now. Dozens of people have been injured. Reports of overturned and burned vehicles in the downtown visitor center. At least 15 people have been arrested. The cause of the violence is a protest against high unemployment. The kingdom is blaming Iran of helping to stir up the unrest. The country is made up of a majority of Shiites, but the rulers are Sunni Muslims. Bahrain is the home of the U.S. Fifth Fleet. And Dateline Baghdad. More information has been released regarding the deaths of 10 Marines last week in Fallujah. The unit had assembled in an abandoned flour mill just outside town to celebrate the promotion of three comrades. When the ceremony was over and the unit started out of the mill, one of the Marines apparently stepped on a pressure plate that was buried in the ground. That activated the improvised explosive device fashioned out of artillery shells that caused the huge explosion. Initial reports from the military said the Marines were on a foot patrol at the time of the incident. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven
Signs. See the 14th Annual Celebration of Lights by car, train, or horse-drawn carriage in Fort Zumwalt Park in O'Fallon, Missouri. Gates open at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. Admission prices vary. Reservations are needed for some activities. For more information, call 636-379-5614. Something to light up your holidays from WGNU.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Are you aware that within the next 24 hours, about 2,000 Americans will be dropping dead from heart attacks and strokes caused by cholesterol? About half of all adult Americans have elevated cholesterol levels, and nearly half of that half have critically high levels. Do you know what your cholesterol number should be? Friday morning at 8, it's Dr. Renee Reed with a discussion on this silent killer. Find out what you can do and need to do to keep yourself healthy. Right here on The Wake Up Call. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU, revolution at lizbrown.com. We're iPodded at whiterosesociety.org, and we're archived at whiterosesociety.org. We are streamed at lizbrown.com and WGNU.com. Or .net. We're talking this morning to the candidate, or the candidate that is running against Hillary Clinton for the United States Senate seat for the state of New York. And his name is Jonathan Tessini, and he is joining us from New York. Jonathan, welcome back. Let me get to another caller here. Carphone, you have a question for Jonathan.
Yes, how you doing, Liz?
Good morning.
Two quick questions. The first one, I would like to know what your guest position is on 9/11 and the mountain of lies that continue to surround that issue. And secondly, since we've been bombing Iraqis since 1990, doesn't he believe that most of these people who they call insurgents are nothing but ordinary Iraqi people who have been murdered by our government over the last 15 years? Thank you.
Thanks for your call and questions.
Let me answer both questions. The first thing is, obviously, we were lied by the administration, and I think that the point I made before was that people like Senator Clinton had all the information they needed to vote against the war. There were people like Paul Wellstone and Barbara Boxer and Ted Kennedy, very smart people, who voted against the war because they looked at the information. They weren't bothered by the polls and people's fears. And they took the information and said, wait a minute, this is nonsense. The second thing your caller brought up, we've discussed, and I completely agree. The people who are being killed in Iraq, the huge, overwhelming majority are innocent Iraqis, men, women, and children. The people who are there fighting the United States are, and the vast majority of the occupation, are Iraqis who don't want to be occupied. And, you know, let's think it. The way I always think about this is the old, you know, do unto your neighbors you would have done to yourself. Think about us in that position. What would we do in this country if a foreign army came and occupied the United States?
For no reason.
And without any, you know, searched you, pushed you up against the wall, put you in detention centers, you didn't have electricity, you had no rights. What would we do? You'd be furious about it. You'd join an insurgency against that kind of occupation.
And I would resist the description as insurgent. Because how are you an insurgent in your own country?
That's true. I mean, I don't even look at that as a negative connotation, but I guess that is... I'm an insurgent, for example, in this electoral race,
mm-hmm.
and I take that as a badge of honor, you know, that somebody who is essentially, you know, rising up and pushing back. So it may be semantics, but...
And so talk to us about what's your position on the Supreme Court justices that have been brought before, and Roberts in particular, and Alito that's waiting in the wings?
Vote no. They're terrible. And I'm sure, you know, our judiciary is being taken over by extreme right-wing conservatives who are going to turn back the clock on every bit of progress we've made. And this is a good example. My opponent took no leadership in trying to defeat Judge Roberts. It was an easy vote for Democrats, most of them, to vote against him. But she took no leadership in trying to defeat him and keeping him from being appointed.
Now, and when you say she took no leadership, what does that mean? What should she have done, or what should be done that wasn't done?
Well, I believe that both of those nominations should have been filibustered, and they should, let's face it, the Democrats are in a minority, but they do have the weapon of the filibuster, and they've been cowed into submission, and they don't want to take that battle on. She certainly did not push that, but made almost no public statements and took no public leadership in that or any other issue you could point to of significance to people in America.
Would it be fair to say, Jonathan, that there are more photographs of Hillary Clinton and the flag-burning legislation than there are of her standing against the Roberts nomination?
I would think that, to be safe, and I'll add to that, I think there's more photographs of her embracing Newt Gingrich than there would be of her standing up somewhere and saying the Roberts nomination is wrong and embracing people who are trying to prevent that kind of nomination from going forward.
You have a question for our guest, Jonathan Tessini.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown, I'm enjoying every bit of this. Jonathan, I'm so sick of these spineless Democrats. They run and hide. I'm sick of them. I wish you the best of luck. And what if they start listening to Howard Dean? He makes a whole lot of sense. I can't wait to Ms. Brown have him on there. Thank you, Jonathan. Good luck.
Are you getting a lot of that?
It really is amazing. I mean, in just 2 days in our campaign, into our website, the TASINI, Tessini for New York.org, we've gotten just a tremendous amount of flood of people. And then, you know, I've been around New York two-thirds of my life, and particularly the last 20 years, and I can't tell you how many people who I've known come up and say, pat me on the back and say, good for you, you're brave. And frankly, I'm a little stunned by that because I don't look at this as a bunch of bravery. People think of this going up against this political machine. I think of it as an act of necessity. I'm just not willing to sit by and let these kinds of things happen. Even the people who are afraid, let's be honest, there's a huge, powerful political machine I'm taking on. And no elected official has come out in support of my campaign yet, partly because they're afraid to death. They're afraid to death because
what about the unions?
They've got a political career and they don't want to be crushed by the machine.
Well, what about you are a union man? What about the unions? How are they? What do you think they're going to do?
Well, we'll see. I think my goal is to basically be able to go talk to rank and file members because I believe what I'm talking makes sense and it will appeal to them. And a lot of the union leaders, that I've talked to are willing to let me come into the union halls and talk to the stewards and the rank-and-file members, and that's my goal because, frankly, right now those union leaders are not going to step out and support me. It's a political, practical thing. I may not like it, but that's the reality. They don't want to cross a very powerful person who is very vindictive and will come after them and not help them if they support me. But we'll see. I mean, I'm a long-distance runner about this. There's a campaign that's going to go for a whole year, and we'll see. If we can prove that there's a bigger group of people who want to step out and support this campaign, I think some union people come along.
How has the press been covering you in New York?
Pretty fairly. You know, we...
Did you make it to the time, to the New York Times? Did they?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And the funny thing about that is that it's been almost 15 years. I sued the New York Times in a big case that went to the United States Supreme Court. I won in the Supreme Court. The Times and all the big media companies for stealing the work of freelance writers and freelance creators. So it was kind of funny to see... wonder what they would do on this. But they wasn't on the front page, but they wrote a fair article, and the rest of the press has paid attention to it. Some of them have not covered it yet, but, you know, I can't complain. It's a new race, it's a beginning, and I think we've done pretty well coming out of the gate.
Are you going to be doing kind of that Howard Dean thing of getting donations through the network in the net?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our whole goal... Here's the difference between another difference between me and my opponent.
And we have 1 minute left.
Okay. She takes corporate money. I don't. Yes. Small donations through the net. We've got a website, as I said, TassiniForNewYork.org.
And spell that for us, please.
TassiniFor for NewYork.org.
Very good. Jonathan, will you come back and keep us apprised of how the race is going?
Oh, I'd love to. It's been a real pleasure. So anytime you'd like, I'd love to be on.
Thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
And to you too, Liz.
All right, take care. Listen, Bye. Folks, Liz Brown, I will be back with Rand Beers, the former counter-terrorist advisor for George W. Bush. He's going to be analyzing Bush's two speeches, and you need to stay and listen to this. There's some Bush on the couch stuff that he says in his speeches. You don't want to miss this. I'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Then an angel all year, Santa baby.
920 on your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. What happened on board the American Airlines flight before federal air marshals shot and killed a passenger? Mary Gardner watched as the man's wife tried to help him.
She was right in between first and second class. There were numerous people kind of holding her, and she then, at that point, started breaking down. She said, my husband, he's bipolar. He didn't take his medication.
Rigoberto Alpizar's family and neighbors say he was a friendly, simple man who worked in the paint department of a home supply store. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will hear today why the former leader of the Crips should be allowed to live.
Stanley Tookie Williams, he is scheduled to be executed next week. His attorneys plan to tell the governor killing Williams will hurt the war on gang violence. While in prison, Williams has written children's books urging kids to stay out of gangs. Attorney Peter Fleming.
If you want evidence, then sit down and read 200 and some odd thousand emails and letters from those who were affected. Not just the children, but those who teach them and their parents.
Ronald Reagan was the last California governor to offer clemency. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Texans are getting a taste of East Coast winters. ABC's Jim Ryan is in Dallas.
Daniela, it was shirt sleeves here in Dallas-Fort Worth just a couple of days ago. Now North Texans are bundled up against a bitter cold, sitting at home to avoid extremely slick streets. Not that there's any place to go anyway. Hundreds of thousands of school children have been given the day off. Others are being allowed to come to class late. Daniela.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas. Oh, fans are lying flowers and lighting candles in strawberry fields in New York City, not far from where John Lennon was gunned down 25 years ago today. Lennon's killer, Mark David Chapman, is serving a life sentence. And another actor is making the leap from the small screen to the stage. David Schwimmer, better known as Ross from Friends, will make his Broadway debut next May. This is ABC News.
I'm an elf, and I know 'tis better to give than receive, especially at the Home Depot. You can give great gifts today and not receive a bill for them till much later. 'Tis lots better to give that way.
The Home Depot and Expo Design Center have the gifts people really want. And for a limited time, a special deferred payment plan. Everything from the most powerful power tools to the latest appliances. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 12/14/05 in U.S. only. See store for details. See store for details.
Get the good stuff.
Got a do-it-yourselfer on your holiday shopping list? The Love Napa's 54-piece outdoor tool set. This durable tool set includes the versatile gear ratchet ratcheting socket system with compact pass-through sockets. It also includes screwdrivers, an adjustable wrench, electrical tape, cable ties, hex key sets, a flashlight, and more in a sturdy weatherproof tool bag, all for just
$59.99.
Napa, get the good stuff.
The target of the latest suicide bombing in Baghdad, a packed bus. 30 people were killed, 40 others hurt. A U.S. soldier also has been killed in action. His convoy was struck by a roadside bomb. A little hope for the families of four charity workers taken hostage in Iraq. The kidnappers are giving the U.S. and Britain two more days to meet their demands, extending today's deadline to Saturday. Edward Loney's brother is one of the hostages.
We'd like to express our compassion and support for all families who are facing similar circumstances, especially those families in Iraq.
The other three hostages are an American and two Canadians. The kidnappers want all Iraqi detainees in U.S. and Iraqi prisons released. The Olympic flame is on its way to Turin, Italy, the site of the Winter Games that begin in February. I'm Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, as the last remnants of the old Busch Stadium come down, fans gather to get one final glimpse of a big piece of St. Louis history. Yesterday afternoon, people gathered around the old ballpark to watch the last standing section begin to fall. The demolition of the old stadium began somewhat uneventfully on November 7th, but since then, it's been moving well ahead of schedule. The new stadium will host its inaugural game on April 10th, 2006, when the Cardinals host the Milwaukee Brewers. Barnes Jewish Hospital is marking a significant milestone in helping patients with heart problems. The hospital yesterday marked more than 20 years of heart transplants. Sharon Moorhead, the head of the hospital's heart failure and heart transplant program, says it's hard to believe the hospital has been doing the procedure for so long.
The advent of some of the newer medications, cyclosporine especially, has made transplant a really great option for a lot of people.
Moorhead says the Midwest is lucky to have a program like this in the area. Since 1985, Barnes Jewish Hospital has performed more than 50 heart transplants. More than 50% of those patients are still alive today. Finally this hour, with winter weather upon us, highway officials are urging people to make sure their tires are winter ready. Kim Weber, a spokesperson for the Rubber Manufacturers Association, says even drivers of SUVs need to check for proper tire inflation. She says while SUVs are great in traction in snow, having a four-wheel drive vehicle doesn't help with braking or preventing skidding. Weber says no matter what kind of vehicle you drive, you need to make sure your tires are properly inflated and maintained. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Add a little excitement to your day this holiday season and pick up some Scratchers tickets from the Missouri Lottery. They also make great stocking stuffers. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Hours traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by American Express. Westbound 5570 at 159. No sign of an accident that was reported earlier. Traffic spins out from 157 to 111 after an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 at Cole. All roadways will reopen after an earlier stall. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Gravoy. No problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Bulls to 270 looks good. Eastbound 70 from K to the Blanchett Bridge is on the move. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44. That traffic is flowing freely. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Brentwood. Look for traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound 40 between Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge. No problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. It looks good there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. State Highway H is closed between 21 and Stonehouse Road in the DeSoto area due to an earlier house fire. And eastbound 44 between Sinclair and Washington, look for road construction going on. The left lane is closed. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by American Express. Wish you could get that $33,000 private jet experience for only $3,000? American Express card members can. Go online at MyLifeMyCard.com. Terms and conditions apply. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward, snow advisory is in effect until 6 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, occasional snow accumulations are expected between 2 and 4 inches. The highs will be in the mid-20s today. For this evening, look forward to mostly cloudy skies in early evening, then becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 10. Then moving on to Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 30s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 19. And Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 22 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 21. The wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 15. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Congratulations to Liz Brown, winner of two 2005 Excellence in Communications Awards from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Best Talk Show for Danny Glover Talks Politics on the Morning Wake Up Call. And with Joe Garcia, Best Spot News for the Global News Update Series. When we call it the award-winning Wake Up Call, we're not kidding. From everyone at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, congratulations to Liz Brown on an outstanding job. When you discover something of true value, that pearl of great price, you take special care of it. The 30th annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party celebrates its pearl anniversary this year by honoring those who help others throughout Metro St. Louis. This year's party is from 3 to 7 p.m. Sunday, December 18th at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road. The parking is free. The ticket price of $10 per person includes a family-style buffet, a DJ from Complete Music Company, the Jerry Stretz Professional Dancers, and the Sweet and Sassy Dancers continue the tradition of great entertainment. There are also drawings for door prizes, including, what else, a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are also available at $5 each. Seating is limited to 500 persons, so get your tickets now and don't be disappointed. They're available from B Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Caffey at Contemporary Living Options, or from Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th, 3 to 7 p.m. at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We are living in remarkable times. I'm looking at the New York Times this morning. As crazy as it seems, they're saying that the economy is lifting George W. Bush's support in the latest poll. But as the Times puts it, his presidency is still plagued by widespread doubts about his handling of the war on Iraq, with 52% of the poll's respondents saying that the Bush administration intentionally misled the public when its officials made the case for war. A majority of Americans want the United States to set a timetable for troop withdrawal, and 32% want the number of American troops reduced, 28% want a total pullout. We need to talk about this, because George W. Bush is in a campaign mode. He is talking about what the strategy is. Isn't that something? How many years out? And now we get a strategy. Y'all should be scared about that. Y'all should be very scared about now we get the strategy for why we are there. Now we get the conversation. Now we get the plans. Oh, and Congress is no better. Now you're asking afford monthly reports? We are in, these are amazing times. In order to truly appreciate where we are, I'm a lawyer. I love words. I understand that we have to analyze and listen to people's words so we know where they are and understand what their intentions are. And also what they're trying to sell us. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the two of these speeches that George W. Bush has given in recent days. The last one at the end of November, the latest one a couple days ago. And to facilitate that conversation about what these words mean, if they bring us any clarity on why the heck we're in Iraq, we have joining us from Washington, D.C., Rand Beers. He is the former counterterrorist advisor for George W. Bush. Rand Beers, good morning.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I am outstanding.
Good.
I am looking at the speech that George W. Bush gave at the end of November. And he says, and I quote, "As we fight the enemy in Iraq, every man and woman who volunteers to defend our nation deserves an unwavering commitment to mission and a clear strategy for victory." Has this administration given us a clear strategy for victory?
No, they've only used the word excessively as some sort of bumper sticker, rather than telling us precisely how we ought to do that. The discussions of that late November speech and the discussion yesterday have really added no detail to the kinds of things that we need to be focused on if we're really to have a strategy and a game plan that will allow us to be successful.
Well, we have three new words. Two new words. We have rejectionist and sodomist and terrorist.
Yes.
Those are the three words. He said the enemy in Iraq is a combination of rejectionists, sodomists, and terrorists.
Right.
What does that mean?
What that means, and which he's unwilling to say, is what's going on in Iraq is primarily an insurgency, not a international terrorist activity. The smallest group of those three are the international terrorists, and yes, they're committing horrible, horrible acts. But that's not the heart of what is going on in Iraq today. The heart of what is going on in Iraq today is that a large number of the Sunni population, which is about 20% of the population, is opposed to the way that the government is being organized and run. And the need here is to come up, as in all insurgencies, with some kind of a political solution that reduces the number of people who are opposed to the government so that what is left becomes a much more manageable problem. And if we can do that, then the terrorists will dry up on their own because they will have no sea to swim in.
But in his speech, he said that on the political side, and these are the words coming out of his mouth, on the political side, he says, "We know that free societies are peaceful societies, so we're helping the Iraqis build a free society with inclusive democratic institutions that will protect those interests of all Iraqis."
That's all well and good as a bumper sticker, but what's happening in terms of the dialogue between the Shia community and the Kurdish community and the Sunni community? And as long as that dialogue is leaving the Sunnis left out, then this insurgency is going to continue, and these troubles are going to continue to affect us.
But on the truthful side of this, is the United States helping the Iraqi build a, I mean, one of the things that he said yesterday, or when he was discussing, as they entitled it, "President Discusses the War on Terror and Rebuilding Iraq," he says that we're helping build the infrastructure of two cities. And my question is that are we doing better in Mosul, and are we doing better in Najaf?
Yes. Those are the two towns that he named, but what he's given us for those towns are snapshots that were taken from...
Okay, you broke up.
What might be a more accurate and well-rounded kind of picture.
Okay, you broke up on us. We kind of lost you on that. So could you repeat that again, please?
I'm sorry. He took a picture of those two that was favorable to him. They were not all-encompassing pictures of what's going on. Even there, he has to admit that there have been problems in both of those cities. What is going on overall in Iraq economically is that unemployment and underemployment is about the amount of Iraqi people was during the time of Saddam. The oil revenue would pay for every...
Ran, you're breaking up on us. We're gonna try to get back to you. My number here is 454-0400, 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877. While we try to address our technical difficulties, I want to share with you some of these words that George W. Bush brought to us in his speech. He said, as we fight the enemy in Iraq, we must have a clear strategy. The enemy in Iraq is a combination of rejectionists, Saddamists, and terrorists. The rejectionists are by far the largest group. They are ordinary Iraqis, mostly Sunni Arabs, who miss the privileged status that they had under the regime of Saddam Hussein, and they reject an Iraq in which they are no longer the dominant group. Now, let's just look at that for a second. They're ordinary Iraqis. They're mostly Sunni Arabs. Well, then, how do you identify a rejectionist? How do you identify a rejectionist? How do you identify this person? Who did we have in Abu Ghraib? A rejectionist? How do you do that? We have our guest back. Rand Beers, a little technical difficulty there.
Yes, we did.
Okay, can we back up a little bit and take us back to the reason why George W. Bush is kind of looking at, he's almost doing like a looking at New Orleans, going to the French Quarter saying, oh, everything in New Orleans is fine because the French Quarter is okay.
That is exactly the right analogy. He's taking the picture of the ground that he wants people to look at instead of the ground that really exists in Iraq. The economy has 50% underemployed. The electrical output is less than it was when Saddam was running the country. The energy output in terms of oil has never gotten to the level that was predicted and doesn't make the kind of contribution that's needed in the economy. And so we have a country that's not breaking out, but is still waiting to find out how there can be economic prosperity that will allow the people to have a belief that, Iraq is a country with a future.
So, Rand, George W. Bush says that we're not going to cut and run. We are not going to leave here until we win. How do you craft out, how do you define, how do you structure winning in Iraq?
Well, I think that that is really the question that we have to ask ourselves. And where I certainly come down, and it's very different from what the president views, is that we have to recognize that the Iraqis are have to show the kind of commitment to a unified country and to the tough decisions that are necessary in order to have a unified country in a way that they haven't yet. And as long as they have the sense that we're going to do all the heavy lifting for them, it's less likely that, in fact, they will do that. So if we're telling them that we're going to be there until the end, and we'll all know when the end is when it comes, then we're not giving them any incentives to make those tough decisions. I think we have to tell them that we're going to be there for a limited amount of time. We have to give them a sense of what that time frame is without having to say that it's a firm, hard, fast time frame. And we have to say they've got this time to get their act together, and we will help them do that, but they're going to have to do the heavy lifting, and they're going to have to do the hard work. We're not doing that.
Do we have the credibility at this point, Rand, to even say that here's the timetable, believe us?
That's a good question. I think we have to say that, and yes, I think if the president were to say that, that it might finally be believed because he's been so adamant about not saying that. But I also don't think that he's prepared to say that, because I think he's standing on this false statement that we don't cut and run. That's not what others are talking about. Others are talking about things like a strategic redeployment in order to reconstitute our military and make sure that we can cover other problems in the world as well as Iraq, which isn't the only problem that we face.
Are you surprised? I mean, you used to work for George W. Bush. Are you surprised at the sentiment of the American people about this war?
I think that it was, in fact, only a matter of time after the initial mistakes had been made and the chaos descended upon the country. So my biggest surprise was that George Bush Jr. was not the son of George Bush Sr. in any intellectual fashion. I would have thought he had learned some important national security lessons watching how his father ran the first Gulf War. But he doesn't seem to have learned any of those lessons and made all of the classic mistakes that anybody could have predicted in the way he went to war and the way he started the war and the way he looked at what you do after major combat is over. Those were all lessons that had been learned by Bush Sr. and others, and he disregarded every one of them. And now we have the chaos that we have.
If he doesn't pay attention to the things that his father did and the things that worked politically for his father or worked for his father, if he doesn't listen to his father on that, is there anybody out there? I mean, you've worked with him. You think that there's anybody that he listens to and that we should be happy that he does?
At this particular point, no, unless Condi Rice is maturing in the job as Secretary of State. No, I don't see any strong figures who are prepared to tell him that he has to move beyond the rosy scenario that he's looking at through his tinted glasses.
And looking at the stories coming out of Europe, the European nation is looking at Condoleezza Rice as a dishonest individual with the whole CIA and secret places to torture people issue as it percolates across that part of the world. So if our hopes are on Condi,
that's why I'm as pessimistic. On that issue, I think the only possible thing that the president could do, and it would have to be the president, is he'd have to stand up and say to Senator McCain that I accept your amendment in its entirety and want to work together with you to make sure that it is in fact the way that we operate and try to co-opt McCain into being his validator on the torture issue. But I don't see him ready to do that either.
Well, I'm reminded of a legal phrase, when pigs fly. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening.
No. Yes.
I want to thank you so much, Rand Bears, former counterterrorist advisor for George W. Bush. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Good to talk to you. Same to you.
Okay. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We're going to take a quick break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by PartyPoker.com. Southbound 170 at Airport, this is a disabled vehicle, right lane is blocked. Northbound 55 between Weber and Brewery, no problems are reported there. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way into Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 70 from 79 to Blanchett Bridge, nothing to report. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, everything's flowing freely. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into New Florissant looks poor, no problems there. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Big Bend looks good. Westbound 40 at Hanley, you have slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570, Poplar Street Bridge, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. And State Road H is closed between 21 and Stonehouse Road into the DeSoto area due to an earlier house fire. Tesson Ferry, just north of Butler Hill, there's a report of an accident. And Highway A at Old Highway A, there's an injury accident that's down in Jefferson County. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by PartyPoker.com. PartyPoker.com, more players, more tables, more winners. Sign up now, enter their special tournament, and you could win a Ferrari. It's that simple. And it's free to enter, so visit PartyPoker.com today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Snow advisory is in effect until 6 this evening. Otherwise, occasional snow accumulations are possible between 2 and 4 inches with a high in the mid-20s this evening. Mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 10. Moving on to Friday, mostly sunny, high in the lower 30s. Friday evening, partly cloudy skies with a low around 19. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have snow outside and 22 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 21, but the wind chill makes it feel like it's 15. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Congratulations to Liz Brown, winner of two 2005 Excellence in Communications Awards from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Best Talk Show for Danny Glover Talks Politics on the Morning Wake Up Call. And with Joe Garcia, Best Spot News for the Global News Update Series. When we call it the award-winning Wake Up Call, we're not kidding. From everyone at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, congratulations to Liz Brown on an outstanding job.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Relax with an old friend. Janet Jimenez shares places and spaces with you at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip, stop at Sears first, and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Diabetes is a killer. After I was diagnosed, I didn't feel sick, so I didn't listen to my doctor. Then it struck. I had a heart attack, then a stroke, and I was only 49.
Most people with diabetes also have high blood pressure and cholesterol, which can cause severe heart damage. In fact, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Call 1-800-DIABETES for your free diabetes survival guide. Choose to live.
Don't let diabetes destroy your life.
Are you aware that within the next 24 hours, about 2,000 Americans will be dropping dead from heart attacks and strokes caused by cholesterol? About half of all adult Americans have elevated cholesterol levels, and nearly half of that half have critically high levels. do you know what your cholesterol number should be? Friday morning at 8, it's Dr. Renee Reed with a discussion on this silent killer. Find out what you can do and need to do to keep yourself healthy. Right here on The Wake Up Call. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ain't it thrilling? Though your nose get a little shitty. We'll frolic and play the Eskimo way. Walking in the winter wonderland.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me, Jane.
Oh, Liz, did you hear anything about this Haley Barber's wife's nephew that received $10.4 million to take care of the flood victims by taking care of all these cots and blankets in there for the all these victims in the flood? I didn't get the whole story on it. I thought maybe you did.
You know what? I am going to. I think I remember running across something like that. I will take some time during my next break and see what I can come up with to find that.
Oh, good.
Okay, because does it surprise you?
No.
Does it concern you?
No. It's like a contagious disease.
I have said this time and time again on my show, Jane. I don't understand the bottomless pit of greed that these people have.
Oh, it's unreal.
It is unreal. It is absolutely unreal.
And I just don't understand why these Republicans keep defending them.
You mean that? Other Republicans out there? I think there's a whole psychological thing going on, Jane. I think that there are some people that defend them because they hope to be like them. And they don't want any opportunities for themselves to be eliminated. So they're hoping, they're aspiring to be like them. So they want to keep their place at the table open. But the reality is most Americans are not going to be sitting at that table. They're not.
Good point.
They're not.
Good point.
Take care of yourself, Jane.
Thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I am outstanding. How are you?
Hey, did you hear Haley Barber crying? Okay, they were talking about Ray Nagin and that lady down there crying about the federal government not helping them.
Okay.
Did you hear about Haley Barber crying too?
What was he crying about?
About them not getting out to help the people in Mississippi and crying.
Haley Barber was crying?
Crying like a big fat baby.
Stop it. Maybe he needs to call his wife's nephew's cousin to get some of that $10 million, and maybe that'll help out some of his people.
I don't trust none of them crooks. I don't trust the Democrats or the Republicans. You have a nice day.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU. And about 10 till 9 o'clock this morning, we'll be talking to William Young, president of the National Association of Letter Carriers. There's some mess going on, and Kit Bond is involved in it. You don't want to miss that interview with William Young, the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers. Dimitri, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. It's snowing like crazy outside, but I'm all right.
And it's snowing here, and that means no more leaf raking for a few days.
There you go.
I wanted to ask your guest a question, but
uh-oh.
I got up too late.
Okay.
So could I ask you?
Sure, go ahead.
If we've taken away the reasons for us being at war with Iraq, like, for instance, there were no weapons of mass destruction, the planes that destroyed the towers in New York were flown by pilots who came from Saudi Arabia. They have captured Saddam Hussein and have him in prison. asking, and my friends are asking, is what is the real reason for us being at war with Iraq? No one's ever asked that hardball question.
I think that that plenty of people have asked the question. What has happened is that people have let go of the analysis that you're using right now. The reason we were told why we had to go to war was to get Saddam Hussein, because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and they were going to use them on us. Those were the reasons. Okay, we have Saddam Hussein. Okay, there were no weapons of mass destruction. Okay, now they can't use something against us that they don't have. Now let's leave. You know, that's the analysis that is not being used right now. And what we're being told, Dimitri, is that we're there, mess it up so much that if we leave, it'll be worse. And my question is worse than what?
Let me continue that question and add another question to it. Most of the conclusions that I can come to, and I think I'm a rational person, is that with all the saber rattling against Iran, the conclusion I draw is that we're only there to protect Israel, and that if it's for the oil, which most people seem to think, we can buy all the oil on the planet if we wanted to, including the stuff that China uses, because they'd love to resell it back to us at the prices we're paying. Don't you think that the real reason, and no one's talking about it, is to protect Israel? What do you think?
I don't know that that's an exclusive reason, but I certainly believe that that is part of the strategy when we look at what's happening with Iran. Absolutely, Israel factors in there. And I can't prioritize it in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, but certainly Israel factors into it. Our relationship with Israel factors into it. Absolutely, Dimitri. Absolutely. And I got to roll. Got to get to some of my other callers.
Okay, thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Dimitri. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I never watched George Bush. I can't stand to look at him, but I did watch his speech the other night. He reminds me of Barney Fife when he used to act like he'd done something tough, you know. And I call him Barney now.
So you think that George Bush, they only let George have one bullet in his holster, they allowed him to put it in the gun.
And the way Barney would pull his pants up and get dead cross-eyed when he thought he was tough.
Okay.
But the point I'm going to make is that he was talking about all the rebuilding we were going to do over there, and about how we built a gym, and we built this, and we built that, and the money to the private contractors. And yet we can't get New Orleans rebuilt.
There you go.
This just blows me away.
You know what also blows me away are the elected officials, the one in particular, a congressman by the name of Shea. I believe he's out of Virginia, Vermont. And he was beating up on one of the evacuees, one of the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And I looked at his website, and I was astounded to see that he had visited Iraq 7 times. Ask me how many times that he's been to New Orleans.
Haven't those people down there been beat up enough? I don't think they need someone else pointing out any fable, you know, problems they might have personally or otherwise.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, honey.
Renee, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding, Renee. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I was listening. I was looking at MSNBC last night, Liz, about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lady on there. I can't remember what her name is, but they call her Mama D down in New Orleans. And she was
Mama D, yes, Mama D.
Yes, mm-hmm. And she was saying that the hurricane, the levees didn't break from the hurricane.
They were blown up.
They were blown up.
And she heard the boom.
Yes.
She heard the boom.
She heard two simultaneously explosions and then another one.
And she had somebody in her house that was in the military. They said that they all heard the booms.
Right. And Liz, if you think about it, you know, if our government can send tens of thousands of troops over there to drop bombs on innocent men, women, and children, then they can absolutely do something like that to get African people out of New Orleans.
Fact.
That they couldn't get out of there for years.
Fact.
But I hope that they stay.
Me too. They better not go anywhere.
They are grounded, and I hope that they stay grounded over there.
Renee, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Liz.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. Crazy man. The enemy are sadomists, rejectionists, and tourists. You know what he didn't mention? George W. Bush didn't mention one. Oh, he mentioned one time Osama bin Laden's name. One time. Talking about Iraq, mentioned Saddam Hussein's name once. And Osama bin Laden's name once. In a 15-page speech. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Your award-winning wake-up call global news update is brought to you this hour by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tripoli. Libya is jamming Western broadcasts aimed at its citizens. A number of TV and radio stations in Europe are being blocked out. The jamming started in September when a British opposition station went on the air to report about human rights violations by the regime of Muammar Gaddafi. That station was immediately jammed, as were other networks. A few weeks later, another opposition broadcast came through on satellite. Libya was unable to successfully stop that broadcast, but did manage to block out the BBC, CNN, and a number of other stations. The relations between Gaddafi and the U.S. have gone downhill this year because Libya will not cooperate on two issues, intelligence on insurgency movements and a refusal to talk about possible weapons of mass destruction. And Dateline Montreal. A video game designer from Canada has created a new game that demonstrates how women can become orgasmic. This game was designed by a Heather Kelly and shows a cartoon bunny rabbit who responds to tickles, strokes, and touches with a touch screen on the handheld game. Now, players can also sing, talk, and blow on the fur of the bunny using a built-in microphone. The more stimulation the player gives to the bunny, the happier the bunny gets on the screen until he winds up flying through the air. Oh, no. The game creator describes her effort as a primer for female sexuality, but she adds that sometimes the bunny won't respond at all, just like women. If you'd like to try and download this game, they say the website is listed as mobid.com/LAPIS. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Start your Saturdays with Temple Time, the radio ministry of the Temple Church of Christ. Elder Clifford Matthews brings a transforming message from the true and living God into your home on the Temple Time broadcast. Every Saturday morning at 7, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU, LizBrown.com, WGNU.net. We are iPodded on WhiteRoseSociety.org. Also, the show is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. This is Liz Brown. We are going to talk right now about an issue that brought a number of protesters outside of the office of Kit Bonn earlier this week. I have on the line from Washington, D.C., William Young, the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers. William Young, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Fine. Why were folks marching and mad at Kit Bonn in my city?
Well, because, Liz, he's holding up postal reform. We've been working for over 12 years on postal reform. As you know, the Internet and computers have changed the way that people communicate with each other, and it's had an effect on the post office. And we've been working, our union, a bunch of management associations, and most of the major mailers of the users of the Postal Service have been working for 12 years to get consensus around the postal bill. We finally did this year. It passed the House by an astounding vote of 410-20. I want you to think about that. In today's day of partisanship, I'm not aware of another bill that's got that kind of support. Mm-hmm. It was reported out of the Senate committee, the Government Affairs Committee, on a 15-1 vote. And we tried to bring it to the floor of the Senate by unanimous consent, and only one senator, and it happens to be yours, Kip Bond, stood in the way of bringing that bill so that we could get it passed by unanimous consent. So we're trying to deliver a message to Mr. Bond. He says he's worried about 4,500 workers at the Hallmark card facility in your state, and I'm telling Mr. Bond there's 187,000 workers that are involved in postal service or postal-related services in Missouri that are relying on him to do the right thing and get this bill passed.
What does he mean when he's talking about Hallmark workers? What is that? How does that? How does this bill impact their lives?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. They were part of our coalition to a group called the Main Street Coalition, and they never raised any issues with us. Well, during this whole period of time where we've been trying to build consensus. Then after we got consensus and several sacrifices and compromises were made by all the parties involved, they came out of left field by going to Mr. Bond and getting him to put a hold on this bill. And in essence, what Hallmark wants to do is return the Postal Service to the old, litigious 15-month system of raising rates. And that's a system that just has not worked for the American public or the ratepayers of the United States Postal Service.
Well, how does that help Hallmark?
I really don't know. I think that they somehow feel that they're going to be disadvantaged. I read some of the statements released by Bond and Bond's people, and they seem to indicate they're worried about the junk mailers getting a break on postage. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, Liz. The bill that we support causes all future postal rates to stay within the CPI, and that's true for all categories of mail. It doesn't matter which class of mail it is. So I'm really mystified at why Hallmark would do what they did. I'm more mystified as to why they didn't raise it within the group when we were all meeting. And I'm just a little upset with Mr. Bond, because all I'm saying is he can have his way, he can have his opinion, he can make his arguments, but let's get this thing to the floor of the Senate and have a vote on it.
Well, how does this work? How does this work, William? He can hold this up forever?
I don't know about forever, but there is a provision in the Senate that allows any senator to put a hold on any bill. And what that does is it stops it from being voted in by unanimous consent. That's the procedure that Susan Collins, the chairman of the Government Reform Committee, tried to use to get this bill through.
So what are the other, what are the choices that are left to you?
Well, there's no choices. I did read yesterday a statement from Bond's office saying he doesn't intend to keep this hold on forever, and he expects this hold to be taken off sometime in February. And I'm deeply gratified if that's true. I'll be delighted with that, because right now the American public's going to get a postage raise next year that was totally unnecessary. The only reason that that raise is being implemented is to pay make payments to an escrow account. This escrow account was created when the government found out that the Postal Service was overfunding the retirement system, and they have this account that they have to make a $250,000 quarterly payments to. And in order to make those payments next year, they had to raise postage. If this postal bill was passed, there would have been no need for the postage increase, because one of the provisions in the bill is they return the escrow money to the Postal Service.
So you're saying that because of Kit Bond, we're going to have to pay higher prices on our stamps?
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
Okay, so what are you advocating, or are you asking people to do?
I'm asking people to call Mr. Bond and to tell him he's advocated on a number of different occasions and a number of different issues. He himself has advocated, let the people vote. Let's have a vote.
Especially during, exactly. During this era of new Supreme Court justices, that's what the Republicans say time and time. Let us vote on it.
Just give us a vote. So all we're saying is give us a vote. There's one other thing too, Liz. I told you I read some comments from Bond and his representatives yesterday. I'm a little upset that he said that we were being honest or dishonest. We are not being dishonest. And he also called this postal bill a sham. Well, if it's a sham, please tell me how 410 of 430 congressmen voted for it, and please tell me why we're confident that if he just lets this thing go to a vote, the majority of the United States Senate will support it. I don't think that would be true if the bill was a sham. So I think it's just a matter of Mr. Bond is uninformed about the provisions of this bill, really doesn't understand what's involved with it, and is being used by a special interest group for whatever reason, and you'd have to ask them what that reason is.
Well, I'm from Missouri, and it wouldn't be the first time, and it isn't the first time that Kit Bond is uninformed. I want to thank you, William Young, president of the National Association of Letter Carriers. Thank you so much. Is there a website you want to direct us to?
There is, Liz, and thank you very much. And anyone who wants further information can get that information at NALC.org.
NALC.org. William Young, thank you so much.
All
Happy
right,
holidays.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Listen, folks, wake up call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Shot Rigoberto Alpizar, who said he had a bomb.
It was terrifying at that point because all of us had our hands on top of our head.
We had it in our minds there could be bombs going on, there could be people attacking a plane.
Alpizar's wife says he was bipolar and hadn't taken his medication. In Baghdad, a suicide bomber attacks a packed bus.
Iraqi police tell us the suicide bomber boarded a bus in eastern Baghdad and then blew up explosives attached to his belt. At least 24 people are dead, 30 injured. The blast happened at the busy Nahda bus station as passengers were boarding for a trip to Nasiriyah. It comes a week before parliamentary elections, and the U.S. military has expected more violence leading up to those elections.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Baghdad. Attorneys for a former gang leader turned anti-gang activist will ask California's governor for clemency.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has agreed to listen to arguments from Stanley Tookie Williams' attorneys. The former Crips gang leader has spent almost 25 years on death row for killing four people in 1979. While in prison, he's written children's books urging kids to stay out of gangs. His supporters say that should allow him to live. But polls indicate a majority of Californians believe Williams should be executed.
ABC's Alex Stone. A quarter of a century, that's how long it's been since the murder of John Lennon, but for many it seems like yesterday.
25 years and still the emotion kicks in.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Michael Hablis came by Strawberry Fields this morning to pay his respects. Tears were in his eyes. If he had lived, would Lenin still be involved in the peace movement?
Yeah, he'd be doing the same things, I guess. I guess he'd be telling us about Iraq and how we need to reconsider what we're doing and, you know, just spreading peace.
Even Yoko says John would be doing very much the same as 25 years, and still the emotion kicks in.
ABC's Larry Jacobs in Strawberry Fields. This is ABC News.
I'm an elf, and I know 'tis better to give than receive, especially at the Home Depot. You can give great gifts today and not receive a bill for them till much later. 'Tis lots better to give that way.
The Home Depot and Expo Design Center have the gifts people really want, and for a limited time, a special deferred payment plan. Everything from the most powerful power tools to the latest appliances. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 12/14/05 in U.S. only. See store for details.
Got a do-it-yourself run your holiday shopping list? The Love Napa's 54-piece outdoor tool set. This durable tool set includes the versatile gear ratchet ratcheting socket system with compact pass-through sockets. It also includes screwdrivers, an adjustable wrench, electrical tape, cable ties, hex key sets, a flashlight, and more in a sturdy weatherproof tool bag, all for just $59.99. Get the good stuff. Napa, get the good stuff.
Mariah Carey scoring 8 Grammy nominations, including Album of the Year. The other nominees?
Paul McCartney for Chaos and Creation in the Backyard. Gwen Stefani for Love Angel Music Baby. U2 for How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. And Kanye West, you go boy, for Late Registration.
Patti LaBelle among the music stars helping to announce this year's nominees. The awards will be handed out in February in L.A. If you've never ridden on one of London's red double-decker buses, you never will. After half a century, the famous buses are rattling into retirement. Today is the last day of regular service. 80% of Londoners in a poll did not want the buses parked permanently. I'm Daniela Bellata, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay is reacting to an accident which took the life of a 28-year-old woman on Tuesday morning. According to police, the area where the accident occurred is a problem spot for backups and crashes. Gemma Dant of St. Jacob, Illinois, was killed in the crash on westbound I-44 at Vandeventer. Slay says he will be reviewing everything to find out what can be done to prevent future tragedies at the exit. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Missouri Department of Transportation has been making plans for improvements there. Finally this hour, St. Louis is one of the nation's sickest cities. A new study released yesterday by Sperling's Best Places ranks the Gateway City at number 12 out of America's 50 worst cities for respiratory infections. Bert Sperling explains how his study was conducted.
We looked at three major areas. Number one was we looked at the number of prescriptions that were written by the physicians. Number two were diagnoses of respiratory illnesses.
He says the study also looked at the overall state level of antibiotic resistance. Greenville, South Carolina topped the list of sick cities, followed by Nashville and Birmingham. Sacramento ranked as the least sick city. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Pier 1's Holiday Sale. At the Pier 1 Holiday Sale, you can save up to 50% on a great selection of unique gifts. Something for everyone at Pier 1, life more interesting. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morgan. This hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Quite a few accidents out there, so let's get underway. Westbound 44 at Antire, an accident. Left lane is closed. Southbound 170 at Brentwood, there's an accident there with injuries. Eastbound 44 at Lewis, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Northbound 270 at Manchester, look for an accident there. Left lane is blocked. Northbound 55 between 141 and Merrimack Bottom, that accident is cleared. However, there's a backup there. Eastbound 44 at Antire, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Southbound 270 at Olive and Ladue, an overturned vehicle. Left lane is blocked there. Northbound 270 between Gordy Ferry and Manchester, look for an accident. Right lane is blocked. Westbound Jefferson Barracks Bridge, westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way to Lindbergh, looks good. And southbound 67 at CC, there's a report of an accident in Jefferson County. Southbound 141 at Clayton Road, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Westbound 30 at Summit, there's a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. North Kings Highway is Penrose. There's an accident there. Manchester at Old State Road is a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. Manchester at Barrett Station, there's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. And 67 between Butler Hill and Route M, their road marking operations, although I don't think they're going to be doing it out there right now as it's snowing. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Add a little excitement to your day this holiday season and pick up some Scratchers tickets from the Missouri Lottery. They're great stocking stuffers. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, a snow advisory is in effect until 6 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, occasional snow accumulations 2 to 4 inches, highs in the mid-20s. This evening, mostly cloudy early, then becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low around 10. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 30s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 19. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Currently under snowy conditions, we have 21 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 19. Also, it was handed a note, Fox C6 school is closing immediately. The kids are to be picked up by 10 o'clock. That's Fox C6. They're closing immediately, and the kids can be picked up by 10 o'clock. That's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. I'm Howard Morton. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Congratulations to Joe Garcia, producer of the Global News Update, a feature of the Morning Wake Up Call. Joe, along with Liz Brown, are the 2005 winners of the Best Spot News Award from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. We always knew Joe was a winner, and now you know too. Again, congratulations to Joe Garcia. Another reason to listen to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Whoa.
Whoa, from the 13th floor, there is almost zero visibility of that snow coming down. I think I was just told that we have our first school closing out in Fox, out in the St. Charles School District. Schools are closed. I don't know. Are we wimps in Missouri? Yeah, okay, yeah. Howard says yeah, so it must be so. It must be so. Oh, my goodness. Can't see. Whiteout. We have a whiteout. I'm up here on the 13th floor. Can't see. Ooh, snow is coming down. Let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow. Snow, snow, snow. 454-0400 is my phone number. Oh, I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial. You can check me out at lizbrown.com. You can catch our stream at wgnu.net. You can iPod me at whiterosesociety.org. You can check out my archives at whiterosesociety.org. All of that and a bag of chips. That's what we have going on here on the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Talk to me. Bob on a car phone.
Yes, I got out early this morning.
Okay.
But the lady perked me up when she said she's up at 3 a.m. listening. I'm often working that late.
You know what? And I shouldn't say this because I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, but sometimes I am too.
But I get my television on while I'm working, and British Broadcasting tells you a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But what struck me was the bombing that we had in Jordan not too long ago, the two American hotels that were bombed.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they are usually packed with American and Israeli business people and contractors. But no Israelis were killed, supposedly. And in that report at 3 a.m., the reporter said that it is said that the Jordanian police department had removed the Israeli guest from the hotel only hours before the explosion. Now, I contribute that mostly to the Israelis being able to get information. They know what's going to happen throughout. They are good at it. And just like 9/11, I think they were good at that by removing some of their people. But when people don't understand that maybe Joe Lieberman has been carrying the water.
Okay, if you don't mind, I would have to point to the two latest speeches given by George W. Bush. One of them given on November 4th that Rand Baer was on just a few minutes in the last hour to talk about both of these speeches. And what I thought was fascinating in both of those speeches, George W. Bush talks about Joe Lieberman.
Yes, he does. He has been. And by Joe Lieberman saying he's a Republican, a Democrat. And
you were right the first time.
Yeah, okay, and we know it because he's been terrible for years now. Congressman Murtha says we should get out, which he has the right to say, and Lieberman says we should stay in, which he has the right to say. The press attacks Murtha, and they build up Lieberman as if Lieberman knows what he's talking about, and Murtha doesn't.
Okay, and let me just read you, if I can, just take a second here to read out of the speech of George W. Bush given just a couple of days ago. One of those who has seen that progress is Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman. Senator Lieberman has traveled to Iraq four times in the past 17 months, and the article he wrote when he returned from his most recent trip provides a clear description of the situation on the ground. Here's what Senator Lieberman wrote. Okay, he's getting ready to read what Lieberman wrote.
And Murtha has been there, I believe, seven times. So what did they see that was different except what they were looking for and what they were showing?
Here's what Lieberman wrote, quote, "Progress is visible and practical. There are many more cars on the streets, satellite television dishes on the roof, literally millions more cell phones in the hands of Iraqis than before. He describes an Iraqi poll showing that two-thirds of Iraqis say they are better off than they were under Saddam Hussein. Now, I bet that poll is true because we're planning stories in the Iraqi papers.
We are, and we're paying for them, and we're asking these people to do it. But if we really look at the point here, that we're talking about, we'll stand down when the Iraqis stand up. The Iraqis cannot even protect their own people. There are 24 more Iraqi policemen killed today. There's policemen killed every day. And we can't protect them. They can't protect themselves. So how can they ever stand up?
How about this?
After this election, nothing will change.
How about this?
The people, it will be three countries like it's always been, and they will be fighting and killing each other. And if we don't get the United Nations and Europeans to go in and straighten that mess up and let us get out, we will be there forever.
Here's the
and
thing.
Thank you, Liz.
Okay, here's the thing. The Iraqis have been standing up. They've been fighting to get the occupiers out of their country. Let's be clear. And the UN doesn't need to straighten anything out. These are their... That's a colonialistic assessment. The fact of the matter is that there's a mess in Iraq right now. Because this administration made it so. The enemy of the enemy is the friend. They're the people have bonded together in opposition to one person. I mean, to one issue, to one thing. Getting the occupiers out of Iraq. As our guest said earlier this week, we went in as an occupier, and we're staying in there as an occupier. And being an occupier galvanizes a whole lot of people to fight against you because you ain't supposed to be in there. The world should be in opposition to us as an occupier. We went in as an occupier. We're not giving any timetable of when we're leaving. That means we're an occupier. We came in on a lie that makes us an occupier, and we're killing the citizens, innocent citizens, and other citizens alike. We're using chemical warfare on the innocent citizens. We're dropping bomblets from the sky on babies. And Joe Lieberman says, dang, everybody has a cell phone. Life must be good. Or maybe the phone system has been so destroyed that there's no way for people to communicate but for cell phones. Or maybe. No, there's no maybe to that. Joe Lieberman says, progress is visible and practical. Maybe we need to put him on the couch next to George Bush. Progress is visible and practical. How many times do you think Joe Lieberman was out of his bulletproof vest during his visit? How many times do you think Joe Lieberman stepped outside of his fully armored tank to be on the ground in Iraq when he was visiting? You think he said that progress is visible and practical from his armored truck behind his bulletproof vest with his helmet on his head? You think that's when he said it? How often do you think he walked the streets of Iraq without a military guard? How often do you think he walked the streets? Progress is visible and practical. Then why don't you uproot your family and move them there? I'm sure you can get a good property, must be going pretty cheap. Why don't you build you a house in Baghdad if progress is so visible and practical? Nonsense. Nonsense. I had hoped to have a guest on this hour, Corrine McSherry from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, to talk about the Sony putting secret stuff in your stuff. Well, unfortunately, she had a death in the family, and she's not going to be able to join us this morning. We hope to reschedule that. So next time, we'll get to that issue. Let me get to one of my callers this time. Marietta.
Hey, I'm Marietta from the Monsanto Family YMCA at 5555 Page. Tomorrow is the big day. We present our fifth annual Children's Bazaar. All children are welcome. Daycare centers, mothers, fathers, bring your children. There will be gifts that they can purchase for as little as 10 cents or a quarter. These gifts will be wrapped for them, brand new gifts, and they will also be given cards. Santa will be there to greet them. Please bring your kids, because we're going to have a good time. On Saturday, the bazaar will be from 9 to 4 for adults. Come and buy your Christmas gifts and ornaments. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to make this announcement.
And wait a minute, before you go, you know, the new head of the Monsanto Y,
yes,
he needs to give me a call, because he could have put some ads here on the show for this, to push this a lot harder than having to have you call in like this. So
okay,
you have him give me a call.
Will do.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Gary, you're on the wake-up call.
Gary. Hello, Liz.
Yes, Gary.
This is Jerry.
Jerry.
Okay. Liz, when the people of America and Congress going to come to the reality that George Bush is sick, and the guys who got there clapping for him when he make his speech know that he's sick, and by the time America wake up and realize that he is sick, this country be so far in the hole, it take 3 decades to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
This man is sick.
Mm-hmm.
And the world know it, and they ignoring it and looking the other way.
Well, I think that
I'm serious. This man, he got a mental problem. He's sick, and they scared to open their mouth because they got some on these politicians. And if they open their mouth, it would destroy their career.
So you're talking about the people that don't see it. You're talking about the elected officials.
I'm talking about the elected officials. I'm not talking about the average American.
Okay,
they
gotcha.
Know he's sick.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm talking about the people that can do something about it. Know this man has a screw loose and won't do nothing about it because they're scared to death. They got some on these guys, and these guys are scared to open their mouth.
How about this?
This is serious.
How about the person, Jonathan Tessini, who joined us today on the show on the wake-up call? He's running against Hillary Clinton. He's a Democrat running against Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary in New York. He described the politicians as craven. He says that it's not about that he has anything on them, is that they just are trying to craft out the way that they think that they can get reelected, and they believe that hopping on the George Bush train is the best way that they can get reelected. It's about craven politicians.
Well, they're sick also.
All right now.
I mean, and if the voters don't realize this, I mean, the voters can do something about it.
Take them out.
But if they want to keep their head in the sand, then it's sad. It's actually really sad. But by the time everything wake up, it'd be too late.
All right now.
Thank you so much,
Jerry. 454-0400. Gene, you're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. What is the guy's name that they got on trial over in Iraq?
Oh, Saddam Hussein?
Saddam Hussein. Now, they had him on television the other day, and they had about three people that was testifying to what he had did to him.
Okay.
But they had them behind a screen. So how do you know that these ain't somebody that they didn't plan it in there to tell this?
I think that that is a challenge to any time you have a trial, that a person that's afraid of repercussions coming and testifying in an open court. But then we said that they were bringing democracy to Iraq. In democracy, I know as a former criminal defense attorney that you have the right to confront and challenge your accuser.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, one of the things, Gene, and I know that this may make me unpopular with a lot of different people, but if we're going to be the lovers of democracy that this nation says that we are, every American should be outraged about the so-called trial that Saddam Hussein is having right now. Because the fact of the matter is that, you know who the judges are that will determine whether Saddam Hussein is innocent or guilty?
You don't sound like one of them.
Well, no, they are people appointed by the George Bush administration. Now, remember, George Bush said, we want Saddam Hussein dead or alive. George Bush said we need to invade this man's country because he has weapons of mass destruction and he's going to use them against us. He said that this man tried to kill my daddy. I hate him. I want him dead. So do you think if you took your worst enemy and you had to go on trial for some kind of a crime and your worst enemy got to pick the judges on your case, do you think that you would get a fair trial? And that's what we're doing. And I resent the fact that the American media is reducing what Saddam Hussein is saying into, I can't change my underwear. And that's awful, too, that he has to sit in the... We're a democracy. We don't treat people like that. He's saying that I haven't been able to change my underwear for 4 days. Well, they're reducing and making fun of Saddam Hussein, but the reality is that Saddam, I mean, it's a twisted irony. Saddam Hussein says, the people behind the screen say, I was terrorized in jail, I was abused in jail, blah, blah, blah. But what did America do to people in jail? Yeah, at Abu Ghraib.
I mean, how do you know that they really are prisoners?
And you don't know.
People that was in there, because
you don't.
They could be somebody that they planned in there to say this stuff.
Absolutely. We don't know. And it's not a trial. It
and
is
then,
not a fair
and this
trial.
And statement Bush made about them killing his, attempting to kill his father.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the Americans that they, you know, they say 2,000 people have died already over there.
Your
don't
daddy
you think some of them fathers?
That, and your daddy ain't dead.
I mean, but their father has died over there. What do they, what, he think they feel about him?
That's a fact.
We ought to kill you. You kill our dad.
Ouch. Ouch. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Adrian, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fine. I was just calling to comment on the lady's question she asked. Do we really know that's Hussein? No, I don't think it is, because I think on your talk show one time, you said that last November they found him in a hole. And then I think you read out of a New York Times paper in January or sometime this year that they had just found him. Was that you?
Yes.
Okay. So my son was in the first war when they went over there, and he said when they surrounded the castle, he said it was so many lookalikes over there, because they went over there to assassinate Hussein, but he had so many lookalikes that they couldn't even shoot.
Wow.
So all they have is a lookalike.
All right.
Yeah. And I was listening to another talk show where this man was a CIA agent, and he had retired, and he said Hussein is in the United States. Secretly living in the United States.
All right now.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Adrian.
Bye bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone.
Hello, Liz.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not the car phone, but I have I heard I think it was a statement made on I think one of your news reports or something yesterday where they said if Saddam Hussein isn't it isn't considered guilty or tried guilty on this. There's so many other things that they would continue to pursue, and he will die. But
so you think he has a fair trial coming somewhere?
Yeah. Now, here's the one that I like. Now, what he's going to trial for now, what he's getting tried for now, is he killed people that attempted a coup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't understand that. I mean, that's crazy. Now, if I attempt a coup or attempt to kill George Bush, they're going to kill me.
Well, they're going to try to.
Yeah.
They're going to try to.
Yeah, see, so, I mean, what do you do when you're the leader of a country and people try to assassinate you? You know, what my mom and daddy used to tell me, somebody hit you, you hit them back.
But here's the thing. You try people and you convict them and you put them in jail. And if your country has a death penalty, you can pursue that. I'm against the death penalty. I don't think that you should pursue the death penalty, but that's what you do. And the argument would be, the argument in response to you would be that there was no trial for these people. He just shot them and he just killed them.
Okay, you remember the Blackstone Rangers?
No.
Okay, the Blackstone Rangers back in the 60s, black groups who were at that time during the black, you know, when they had civil rights movement. It was them and the Blackstone Rangers is one other group. They just wiped them out.
And that was, and I guess your observation is that so if it was okay to do it to them, why couldn't we do it to other people? Gotcha.
Well, I look at it, you know, from a point of view of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he was a leader. And, you know, you when somebody try to topple your government or somebody try to do something to you, you make an example out of them.
All right. All right. Thanks for your call. And I understand where you're coming from. Thanks for your call. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me, 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me.
I
every weekend, your gospel voice of choice can be found on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Take a Missouri Boater Education course at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles, on Wednesday and Thursday, December 14th and 15th from 6 to 9 each night. Boat operators must be at least 14 years of age unless accompanied by an adult. Registrants should be old enough to follow and understand the material. The $15 fee covers the cost of the certification card. To register or for more info, call 573-751-2333 or contact the Missouri Water Patrol online at mswp.dps.mo.gov. News for boaters from WGNU.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Try your best.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Are you aware that within the next 24 hours, about 2,000 Americans will be dropping dead from heart attacks and strokes caused by cholesterol? About half of all adult Americans have elevated cholesterol levels, and nearly half of that half have critically high levels. Do you know what your cholesterol number should be? Friday morning at 8, it's Dr. Renee Reed with a discussion on this silent killer. Find out what you can do and need to do to keep yourself healthy, right here on the Wake Up Call.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I'm watching, well, I listen to your great show, good snowy morning at that. I'm watching C-SPAN 2 and the Congressional Black Caucus, some members are up. Having a news conference about why we should slip this Alito character back up under the rock he crawled from. And there's one glowing absence from this from the meeting. And this guy's a great orator, a great voice, because I think he's, I've always been worried, concerned about him. I think he's just window dressing. I bet people know who I'm thinking about, Mr. Obama.
He's not there?
No. And they mentioned Mrs. Holmes Norton and mentioned that he's not there. And
well, what?
He's not holding up the his constituency the way they think he should either.
Okay, Ellen Holmes Norton Holmes or Holmes Norton? I always get that confused.
Eleanor Holmes Norton.
Eleanor Holmes Norton. Eleanor
with the
Holmes.
Short haircut and the black.
Oh, I know who she is. I just get her name. The rhythm of her name kind of I mess it up sometimes. she said that Obama is not there because of why.
I don't think he agrees with everything that they're talking about.
No, did she say? Did she say that?
I think she said that. I was listening pretty close while listening to your show, but he said about his constituency not being, you know, in agreement with what he's saying. He's not holding up his end of the constituency.
Very good. They need to kick him. They need to kick him.
And, I've been concerned about this man. I mean,
and there's a wonderful article at blackcommentator.com on Barack Obama written by Glenn Ford. You need to check that out because that's exactly what Glenn Ford at blackcommentator.com is talking about.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Denzel.
Hey, how's it going, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I wanted to say one thing about Saddam. You said that that is horrendous, that he had to go 3 days without changing his underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that might shock you. You can ask any credible witness that has spent more than 3 days in any jail in St. Louis. We go a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks for minor traffic tickets, Liz. Without brushing your teeth, washing your face, washing your hands, or anything.
And that's horrendous too, Denzel. That's horrendous.
Yes, ma'am.
And that is wrong. And most people don't know that. And it is any American that says that that's cool or that's right is a person that is not a believer in democracy. You know, I mean, and here's the thing. If you want to say that we can just live in a country that we can do anything to anybody that's been arrested for a crime, then say that. And then we'll operate on that level. And we'll allow that assessment to permeate through all facets of the world that we live in. But the fact of the matter is that we say that we don't do that. So why are we doing it? And it is against the law to do that. It's awful. I think it's awful.
Yes, ma'am.
And people that allow themselves to make fun of or to not examine what's going on in the trial of Saddam Hussein are fake Americans, are fake people that want an opportunity to just, I think they get off on other people's suffering. I think that they feel better about themselves when they can beat up on somebody that they wouldn't bust a grape or that they would run from if they were in their presence.
Yes, ma'am.
It's bully mentality. Oh, yeah, let him sit like that. Let him do like that. But what we should be examining is the fact that we say that we are importing democracy to Iraq, and we're putting a person on trial when the judges are handpicked by a person who said, I want him dead. That's a fair trial? And we're supposed to be proud as Americans about that?
Yes, ma'am.
Ah!
Ma'am, and that happens every day on the city level too.
Every
the same
day.
Thing with Saddam Hussein. So that's why I believe that it's that they let people. That's why I believe they're letting them get away with it, ma'am. Because I mean it's been like that for years here. So I mean why shouldn't it be good enough for Saddam?
And here's the other piece of it. When the soldiers went to Iraq and attached electronic probes to the genitals of people that hadn't been tried and hadn't even really been charged with anything yet, and they humiliated them and they beat them and they sick dogs on them and they took their dead bodies and used them as propaganda tools and burned their dead bodies, they didn't learn that in Iraq. We brought that understanding and willingness to do that to people from the United States because of how we treat people in the United States.
Uh-huh.
So thank you so much, Denzel.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Take care. Jeff on a cell phone. Jeff. Hello?
Yes, Liz?
Yes, Jeff.
Hey, what's up? We're talking about people that are missing from action, you know, after the missing for action. you know, when the Congress voted for this war thing, there was one Democrat who said no. You know who that was?
Feinstein? I mean, Feingold?
It was Cynthia McKinney. You remember?
Oh, on the House side. I was thinking on the Senate side. Cynthia McKinney. Well, no. It wasn't Cynthia McKinney. It was also she's from California. I can't think of her name right now. It was another woman of African descent and a member of the Black Caucus. I can't think of her name.
Well, you might be right. There are probably two. Mm-hmm. I know Cynthia McKinney is from Georgia, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. She was one of those individuals mm-hmm. who said no, right?
That is correct.
And you remember, you commented on this, too. You always on the one list. You said, well, she lost her seat. You know, she lost the election.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? She's back in.
She's back.
And guess who's the one person right now, I'm watching C-SPAN, the one person, the one lone Democrat again, who's sitting as a panelist for this subcommittee for this Katrina deal. They're talking about relief efforts and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
One person. Who would that be?
Cynthia McKinney. Sheila Jackson.
Yeah, Sheila Jackson is sitting there. Oh, that's the other one
in
California.
Yes, California. That's the other one. That's right.
And then I was looking at C-SPAN, and, you know, I said, well, she's sitting by herself. And even the chairman of the subcommittee said that there should have been at least 9 to 19 Democrats, but she's sitting by herself, so they're kind of laughing at her.
Uh-huh.
And I watched the other subcommittee on the BCS, you know, the Bowl Championship Series.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they having subcommittees on this football.
Ain't that some stuff?
And guess what?
Ain't
on the
that
left,
some stuff?
On the Democrats, you got 15 Democrats.
Shut up.
Ain't that
some mess? And as John Tassini said on my show today, he's the candidate that is running against Hillary Clinton.
I heard him. I listened to him. Go ahead.
Did you remember what he said? Uh-huh. Hillary Clinton is out here just signed up with another Republican. You know what legislation she just got finished passing? A flag-burning piece of legislation. Flag-burning.
Trivial things that have no real significance. Meanwhile, we got people down in New Orleans and Mississippi
dying,
who have been without their homes. They're spending money recklessly without involving the people who are from their region. And we're busy talking about flag burning and bow.
And here's the other thing. I would love to, you know what, maybe that's what I'll do. I think I'm going to go to the United States Senate and go to their website, and all of the senators, and see how many times each one of them have used taxpayers' money to fly over to Iraq. And then juxtapose that with how many times they've taken taxpayers' money to fly to the New Orleans, Mississippi, Gulf region after the worst natural disaster in the history of this country.
That'd be interesting.
Yes, it would.
And in addition to that, the thing about Cynthia, that sister is deep.
Yes, she is.
She is so strong.
Yes, she is.
You remind me of you, Liz.
Bless your heart. That's a great compliment.
She asked the people, they had this one attorney, his name is Ishmael Muhammad. I don't know, he represents some organization, but this brother was, you know, he was one of the I guess you would call him panelists.
Okay.
He was, you know, asking questions. They gave him so much time to ask questions. And he was saying things like, he was talking about Chavez, how Chavez wants to give petroleum products to the people of Massachusetts.
He's already given discounted heating oil to the residents of to Massachusetts. They bought it from him.
But a lot of people don't know that the Chavez, he's got a whole lot to do with Citgo.
And I got to roll. I'm sorry. Okay. Got to grow. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Sorry, got to get to a break. My name is Liz Brown. This be the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. iPod me at whiterosesociety.org. Or check out the archives at whiterosesociety.org. We are streamed at WGNU.net. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com, LIZZBrown.com, and, of course, LizBrown.com is the website. Taking a break. We'll be back.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGN.
Hi, I'm Michael Strahan with PETA. When I'm not playing defense for the New York Giants, I'm protecting the home team, my girls Tasha, Katie, and Stella. During the cold winter months, dogs left chained outside can suffer from frostbite and hypothermia, as well as stress and loneliness. Your dog depends on you for love and protection. So bring them inside, take them for walks, make them a part of your pack. In other words, be your dog's biggest defender.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
Your award-winning wake-up call global news update is brought to you this hour by...
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tripoli. Libya is jamming Western broadcasts aimed at its citizens. A number of TV and radio stations in Europe are being blocked out. The jamming started in September when a British opposition station went on the air to report about human rights violations by the regime of Muammar Gaddafi. That station was immediately jammed, as were other networks. A few weeks later, another opposition broadcast came through on satellite. Libya was unable to successfully stop that broadcast, but did manage to block out the BBC, CNN, and a number of other stations. The relations between Gaddafi and the U.S. have gone downhill this year because Libya will not cooperate on two issues, intelligence on insurgency movements and a refusal to talk about possible weapons of mass destruction. And Dateline Montreal. A video game designer from Canada has created a new game that demonstrates how women can become orgasmic. This game was designed by a Heather Kelly and shows a cartoon bunny rabbit who responds to tickles, strokes, and touches with a touch screen on the handheld game. Now, players can also sing, talk, and blow on the fur of the bunny using a built-in microphone. The more stimulation the player gives to the bunny, the happier the bunny gets on the screen until he winds up flying through the air. Oh, no. The game creator describes her effort as a primer for female sexuality, but she adds that sometimes the bunny won't respond at all, just like women. If you'd like to try and download this game, they say the website is listed as mobid.com/LAPIS. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you by...
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
Everyone at WGNU extends congratulations to Liz Brown, winner of two 2005 Excellence in Communication Awards from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Best Talk Show for Danny Glover Talks Politics on the Morning Wake-Up Call, and with Joe Garcia, Best Spot News for the Global News Update. Congratulations, Liz, from your friends and colleagues at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Aw, are you thirsty?
If you're a cat owner, you should know subtle behavioral changes can sometimes be early signs of illness.
Wow, you really need a brushing.
Increased thirst, decreased grooming, and many other changes can be harder to detect in cats. And cat owners may not notice a change until the disease is advanced.
You don't seem yourself lately.
That's why every cat should receive a wellness exam twice a year. Wellness exams can help your veterinarian detect, treat, or ideally prevent health problems before they become serious.
I think it's time you had a checkup.
Call your veterinarian and schedule your cat's wellness exam today. Or visit avma.org for more information. A message from the American Veterinary Medical Association and your local veterinarians.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Are you aware that within the next 24 hours, about 2,000 Americans will be dropping dead from heart attacks and strokes caused by cholesterol? About half of all adult Americans have elevated cholesterol levels, and nearly half of that half have critically high levels. Do you know what your cholesterol number should be? Friday morning at 8, it's Dr. Renee Reed with a discussion on this silent killer. Find out what you can do and need to do to keep yourself healthy, right here on The Wake Up Call. Real life. On the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
On the hills of Georgia, across the plains of Tennessee, seen it up done.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Car phone, you're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz Brown.
Hello on the car phone.
I got a question for you.
No, you don't.
First of all...
You just play it. No, you don't.
Danny Glover's piece.
Yes.
What day was that?
The day of the interview was, I don't remember. It was, well, it was,
you
it was,
find it out, would you
it was,
know,
it, was in, it was in, it was in September, right before the election.
September before the election.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on the White Rose?
No, but you know what? I'm going to have that, uplifted, either this weekend or the first part of next week. I'll have the interview uploaded.
Okay,
uploaded.
Cool. The other question I have for you is, humiliation a form of torture? Could it be?
Yes, it is.
And if, I have an individual that kept saying that the only way you can be tortured is if somebody rams something like putting bamboo shoots up your fingernails or something like that. I said, that's crazy.
And what
I
is...
I said, humiliation is one of the worst forms of torture.
It can be. It can be. It absolutely can be. And one of the... There are lists of things that you can't do. It's very clear. The Geneva Convention is very clear about what is not permissible. And humiliation isn't just coming up to somebody and saying, yo mama. Okay? That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about things like... I'll give you an example of what our good army did. They took the dead bodies of Iraqi. They set them on fire, and then they placed the bodies towards Mecca. And then they got on loud. The members of the psych ops got on loudspeakers and taunted the Iraqi people about that they trying to humiliate them into coming and fighting them. Now that's humiliation, and that is prohibited by the Geneva Convention. You can't set bodies on fire, and you can't do that.
Absolutely. And the same individual, I said, well, if your wife was being raped in front of you and you couldn't do anything about it, I said, that's torture. He said, oh, yeah, that's torture for my wife.
Oh, Jesus. Well, then that why are you even having a conversation with that person? Why are you having a conversation?
And PhD.
You need to pass that. You need to pass that memo on to his wife. OK, you need to pass that little piece of info because I would like to know. I would like to know that. Tell me his name and I'll say it now. I'll say it now.
He's a PhD on your station, so I'm not going to mention his name.
All right.
I know his old lady is checking it out, but that was crazy.
That's crazy.
You sure y'all don't have no Armstrong William types being paid by the Bush administration?
Hush up. Bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Scott.
Yeah, the Birchers, they, as I understand it, they're against free trade, and they're against, they want to close the borders. So basically, they're for socialism and affirmative action. I mean, basically, that's what it.
Don't tell their friends.
They don't know it. Yeah, they don't know it. Also, to correct someone, the English are negotiating with the IRA terrorists, and that's one reason there's been a tremendous decrease in in terrorism over
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. That's a good point, Scott. Thanks for your call.
Thanks.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Liz.
Yes. I'd like to comment on the...
postal carrier?
The postal carrier.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange how the leadership can all of a sudden, come out of the woodwork in reference to what we should do about Mr. Bond. Mr. Bond's been doing certain things all along against Americans and minorities. However, we should go after those special interest groups. What are those Hallmark card people or whatever? And this is a time right now in which we can boycott them if they have some kind of special interest in Mr. Bond's agenda. Would you agree with me on that?
Sure. Sure, absolutely.
Right, and also Mr. Lieberman, so-called Senator Lieberman, so-called Democrat, who is also probably will be appointed to Mr. Rummy's position when he resigns and when there is a new democracy in Iraq, which is ironic that he was on the ticket with our Democratic leader, who was that, Mr. Gore? Isn't that strange? Bedfellow. Yes.
Well, Lieberman is now asking for a war cabinet to provide advice and direction for the war effort. We already have a war cabinet. They call them senators.
That's correct.
Okay, that's your job. Now you. Oh, this man drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. Thanks for your call, Mr. Jones, and your observations. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
Just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Vellante. Federal air marshals are defending the shooting of an American Airlines passenger. They say Rigoberto Alpizar said he had a bomb. ABC's Bob Schmidt is in Miami, where the other passengers are describing what happened on board the plane.
Passenger Mary Gardner says the shooting of a fellow passenger who said he had a bomb unfolded very